Once again, it's the Concast.
Are we underwater this time?
We're not underwater. Wait, let me confirm.
Check.
Let me
check
confirm.
It. I have my scuba gear.
We are not, in fact, underwater. Yeah, this time it's...
over here.
Yeah, no.
But we don't nearly have as many warriors.
No.
I think the manliness of the room was what affected the actual equipment.
Yeah, the equipment retreated underwater.
All our alpha waves fucking
right.
Destroyed the equipment. Uh-huh.
So that was the alpha cast, this is the beta cast.
Yeah. There we go. Alright.
So who do we have?
We're doing the Con Bravo 2017 cast, and we're here with myself, Matt, and...
Little V.
Hey!
Musician, and...
International musician, man of mystery.
Yeah, there you go, there you go. And?
And Brennan Williams, the WWE and the WWE Network for $9.99 a month.
There you go. Fantastic.
Good job.
One of these gentlemen in this room started out Con Bravo ripping their shirt off to an applauding crowd. Can you take a guess who it was?
It was Matt.
Hey, I love that stuff. I love showing off my workout body.
Yeah, no, man.
I'm a glorified stripper.
I feel
what wrestler really isn't at the, when you
at the end,
end
of the
day.
Yeah.
You gotta at least have that energy.
I think, strippers have
stripping
the right
energy.
Idea. Yeah. They're stripping aura.
Yeah, exactly. You're stripping meter. Fill up your meter.
You're stripping.
Everybody in the audience has to believe. You probably won't. I mean, you got your shirt off and you're like, you know, every match you take off my vest or whatever. So it's like, hey, maybe you'll go a little bit further.
You know, if you keep your clothes on, that's when you gain the most meter, because that's like the riskiest thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like, oh, Brennan's sitting on a lot of meter. Yeah. What's he gonna do with
gonna
it? What's
take
he gonna
it off?
Do?
He's gonna take it off. Oh, he didn't need to finish. He didn't need to pop the super.
Yeah. Also, there's very few professions where, like, right before getting into like the meat of it. You, like, you're standing behind a door and then greasing yourself up a little bit.
Boy, is there... two of them are stripper and wrestler.
Yeah, like... It's,
baby oil.
That's the... You gotta make some decisions and go, all right.
Coconut Vaseline.
Oh, man. Well, we might as well get right into how we had our weeks. And we're going to actually do the unthinkable in a Concast and cover the news, you guys. So
there's news.
There is news, but before the news, there was weeks. And Lil V, aka James, how did you start your week?
Week was pretty good. Had everything from being accused of being a fentanyl smuggler by the cops to sleeping in Walmarts, or not in Walmarts, in Walmart parking lots. The parking lot is way nicer than the Walmart.
Superstar international musician, everybody.
No. And it's my first Con Bravo, and I figured I'm Canadian, it's Canadian, why not? And come down here, make some contacts. I know a lot of people here.
What a Canadian attitude about it.
Yeah. Well, we got it, right?
I'm Canadian, so if I go to this Canadian thing, I'll be safe.
Yeah, there you go. In Hamilton.
Oh, yeah.
And, so I basically drove out here, and because I'm crazy, and everyone looks at me like I'm insane, going from Calgary, which
when you told me you did that, I was like, yeah,
explain to
crazy.
Me where Calgary is on
okay,
the map in comparison
so that's
to where we are.
North of Montana.
Montana. Oh, yeah. Okay. What are we above in America?
Detroit. Montana to New to Detroit.
Yeah.
Well,
so
it's pretty far.
It's 3,500 kilometers. So whatever. That's probably like 2,800.
What is that in miles?
That's probably like 2,700 miles.
That's a lot.
And
of miles.
I did that in 3 days because I'm insane and I enjoy driving.
Carlevin.
And I mean, you get used to it as a musician, or you don't, and then you have a really terrible, terrible tour experience. And got all the way down here, slight run with the cops.
Slight run with the cops.
So, slight run with the cops was driving. I mean, I drive fast, and ironically, I didn't get caught in the fast zone. And I'm coming around a corner, and I see the cop. I'm slowing down, and I'm also at that point I realized, oh yeah, I'm from a province that doesn't need a front license plate. So and he starts moving. I'm like, oh, that's what. So I'm thinking, oh, he's thinking, score! I got comes
I got
running
one.
Up behind and just backs right off and goes, oh. So for about the next, I want to say, 10 minutes, he's following me, and then finally pulls me over.
How polite, though.
Yeah,
like,
right?
Yeah, in America, they're just like, hey, pull
shoot
over.
You.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll figure this out later.
Yeah. And right down to the, oh, hey, can you just pull a little more further off the sidewalk? Yeah, no worries.
Hey,
I'll just pop out.
I'm really sorry I had to pull you over, but I noticed you didn't have a front license plate.
And so, you know, it was, oh, yeah, you're going a little fast there. Going a little fast there, bud. And, I'm like, oh yeah, okay. And we do our whole spiel, and then he goes, hey, can I ask you some questions? I'm like, okay. And he follows it up with, but you can leave now if you want. You can totally leave now if you want. His words, and I'm like, okay, well, now I have
to. What does that mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like,
test.
So, you know, you mentioned you were going to Hamilton, and, well, you know, Calgary and Hamilton have been having some problems with a particular drug, and I just look up.
Oh,
and go,
I thought you were going to say Calgary and Hamilton are going to,
like,
war.
Right?
And so I just look at
what happens in Canada.
The Prairie ICBMs launch off.
Yeah, and so at this point, I just look it up at him and go, did you just accuse me of being a fentanyl smuggler? And and fentanyl basically being like super heroin, like,
oh,
it's bad. And
it's in the news right now.
Yeah, and he's like, and it's like, yeah, I just kind of look and go like, no. And then I follow it up with,
no.
Does that work? Does asking work?
Yeah.
It's like no.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I apologize. I'm really sorry. You
sorry,
got me.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry there, bud.
Oh, you got me right there.
And that still falls up. So nothing illegal in the car. No. And yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right,
and then flash down to Southern Ontario, and they're like riding your ass on the highways if you're not speeding. Because they're like, what are you doing, idiot? What are you doing the speed limit for? Keep going. You're holding up traffic. So, yeah, Northern Ontario, really interesting. Very interesting. And then just general con-going stuff. Checking out all the events, watching all the concerts, and I got pretty much all of my friends are performers this year, and actually ended up coming to the rescue because Family Jewels, who was playing, had a guitar problem, and he's having some problems with his little device. There's a device on the guitar that makes it, you know, the whammy bar hold configuration. It's got a special place in hell if it's not set up properly.
Okay.
And it's essentially what it is. It's balancing strings in a spring, and if it's not perfectly aligned, it's just throw in the trash. Just throw in the garbage.
Okay.
So I have my guitar on me. You just want, and then boom, it all kind of worked out, and except for
I like how you're standing there and you're like, you know, I have my guitar. You pull it out of, like, your pocket.
Oh, you unsheathed guitar.
But, you know, it's okay, because Jules, he, you know, he's, it's fine. He uses little baby bitch strings.
Oh.
So, to those listening, he's using nines, and that's, you know, that's fine. I had 11s, you know, so he kind of had to work a little harder to, you know, to do his job. But,
no
you know,
one's ever been impressed by,
you know,
nines.
And no, right? It's just, you know, I mean, it's, you know, so, you know, it's fine. You know,
yeah, you saved the day. You saved
the
day.
Yeah, I showed up.
You
saved the
day with your big manly 11.
Exactly. Yeah. And, yeah, and then ever since then, just been kind of hanging out.
There's never been, like, a failing Let's Play where, like, a side YouTuber showed up and went, yeah, I brought a bigger controller because you're stupid, dumb bitch controller.
I have an original Xbox controller.
Duke. Yeah.
Or, like, those, like, eSports, like, controller. Like, you know how the Elite has all, like, the little, like, plungers and, like,
side
systems
and
shit. Like, he comes in with that. He's like, this will give you the types of presses per minute that Omicron needs. You know?
Fantastic. Yeah, Omicron like could have been prevented.
Yeah. That's interesting. So that's what like musicians or guitar guys would kind of measure up to each other. Like.
Oh, guitar guys are the worst. It's just a constant dick measuring contest between all guitar players. And okay. not drummers, not bass players, not anything else. And it's like, I can play faster, I use better stuff, and it's just like, yeah, okay. Everyone just kind of settled down. I'm a drummer originally, so I just kind of, all right.
Well, like, there's no doubt in my mind that front men are all just, like, comparing pain and how angsty you can get and such, and how, like, pushed to the edge your look can be. So,
of course, yeah.
You know, there's that going on.
There is an art to being a front man, probably very similar to being a wrestler, where you gotta...
I would imagine.
You gotta just... There's,
and then you get the rare Chris Jericho that is both.
Yeah, literally both.
There you go. And actually, fun fact, one of my favorite musicians, the shirt I am wearing, which plays great for audio, by the way, Devin Townsend, if you haven't heard of him, just going to show him out because he's a fantastic musician. Chris Jericho did some work with him on an album.
And, really?
Yeah, it's on an album called Ziltoid the Omniscient. It's about an alien that needs coffee to fuel his interdimensional time-traveling spaceship.
It's a good aesthetic.
And I believe he played a character by the name of Captain Spectacular, who ended up being, spoilers, Ziltoid's half-brother and possessor of the ultimate coffee bean. Canadians are great. By the way, this guy's from Surrey. Devin Townsend from Surrey. Can you tell?
Okay.
Boy, that's some ideas. That's a BC. That's a BC boy right there.
Okay, so that's not on a Chris's head then.
No,
that's
all right. That is good old Devin Townsend.
He's from Winnipeg, you idiot. Go back to Toronto.
That's so good.
Oh man.
Okay. I guess I don't know if you had any time to play any video games or anything like that, or were you just in the car?
Pretty much just in the car. Unfortunately, fortunately, actually, I got a hookup on a Switch and found one because Calgary has been completely bare. I saw one and I regret not grabbing it. And
didn't Calgary just get the GameCube?
Probably. Yeah. It's one of those. Yeah, it's one of those cities where it's like, hey, we want to do some art. We're gonna just make a giant blue ring. Nothing special about it. And we're going to put it next to the highway, except for it's not going to be next to the highway. It's going to be about a mile away from the highway. So there's this tiny little... Calgary's weird, very bizarre. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so yeah, Switch showed up the day before I left. I'm very excited to start playing it.
You started playing it while driving. You're like,
yeah,
at the same time.
Yeah. Hey, knee driving is a skill and an art that one must possess.
What's a genre that you actually... A few genres you actually like playing?
I'm particularly more of like a rock and metal guy. I typically do that the most on my channel especially. But yeah. I also like blues, jazz, country, all that kind of stuff. Just, you know, general, I just like music.
So like, what games would you like also for genre?
Oh, yeah, I should probably mention that.
You meant game genres.
Yeah, did I say music?
No, you said genres. Genres, but you're speaking to a musician.
Yes.
So the word gets filtered straight through the music.
Where is he?
Where is the translator?
Yeah.
Genres, I grew up on shooters, actually. My dad showed me Wolfenstein 3D on the Mac, which has way better music. It's so much better. And it scared the shit out of me because I was 5 and I had nightmares of German soldiers walking up my hallway from my room going, oh,
that's
God.
Never happened. Nobody's
and ever since then I was
leaving.
And ever since so good. That's and then from there, first game I ever bought was actually no, it was Super Nintendo first, and then Super Star Wars was pretty much like my game of choice for a bit. And then and Super Godzilla.
Oh,
I had
geez,
that,
my condolences.
And oh man, and I did not know how bad it was until way later. And then, of course, you know, GoldenEye, and kind of into Perfect Dark, Ocarina of Time,
right.
And so I typically
got Zelda goes without mention that you're gonna try to get. Yeah?
Of course, well, I've got it already too.
Are you into racing games at all?
A little bit. I'm particularly an RPG and a shooter. A lot of single player games, just because I am one of those few people that had dial-up all the way up until 2009, which, yes, I said 2009.
Wow.
Yeah. And,
did they even still have dial-ups?
Yes.
They still do now.
Yes.
Now?
They're still there. And,
Somebody's using AOL.
The last stand.
Yeah.
They don't even know the war is over. It's like the people that are in the jungle and World
stuck
War II
on the islands.
Which, even funnier, considering now I'm an internet-based musician. But,
it's taking forever to upload this video.
Oh, boy. I mean...
Mom, put down the phone!
My dad... Oh, yeah, and then my dad was, you know, a businessman and 4-hour phone calls. And it's like, so my internet was all this, figuring out how to get past the firewalls at school and figuring out, like, Newgrounds at, like, you know, at like 2000.
Hacking!
At 2000, all ISPs, at like 2008, so way past the point of it being cool. And,
wow, you must have, like, a really interesting perspective on the internet.
I kind of got hit with a wave, and it was just like, oh, okay. And, so I'm big into, you know, single player games, RPGs, a lot of BioWare stuff, played a lot of StarCraft too. Love StarCraft and a few fighting games, although I was definitely I'm not great at, which again is still
Some good ass music.
I just never was sure. Because you do covers for like a variety of games. Yeah. So I was like, what is he actually like?
Well, I love all the music. The thing is,
yeah, there's some
I
good ass music in StarCraft.
So So there's good ass music in almost any game, and it's that's kind of how I get introduced to a lot of stuff now. Is I honestly can play a game where the game is or the art style is but like if it's got a great soundtrack and gets it hyped up, like I'm totally on board. It can make or break it for me. There's some
Biggity Buck Bumble. Anybody Buck Bumble?
You should pay to a little V to do a vanity project where he covers the theme for Buck Bumble.
I get aggressively in people's faces about playing Buck Bumble, but it's like you don't play Buck Bumble, you just listen to it.
Okay, cool.
Alright, sir. Brennan.
I'm going around the circle, and I'm next in the circle.
That's clockwise.
Yes. I had a week as well. Spent most of the week working, as you tend to do, down in the WWE Performance Center in sunny Orlando, Florida, which is really, really sunny right now. It's super hot. So I was really glad to come to this chilly...
Fendrana drifts to you.
Chilly Canadian climate.
It's so hot right now.
I tweeted, I was like, man, I need to go to Canada because it is so hot. And then everybody's like, hey, it's got a bunch of climates in Canada. Like, it gets really hot. And I'm like, man, that's really adorable because I used to live in Massachusetts. And I was like, man, our summers are hot. And I don't like doing training camp in Massachusetts. It's hot in August. And then I moved to North Carolina.
Then you went to the real shit.
And then I was like, wow, this is a lot harder than home. I think I take back what I said. Man, I'd kill for a Massachusetts summer.
Right.
And then I moved to Houston, and I was like, man, North Carolina is pretty chilly in comparison to this. And then I moved to the swamp of Orlando, and I realized what life was like without breezes. So when I say what's hot, I know what's hot.
Yeah, they don't tell you about the Angry Mario 3 song. When you get there.
And then somebody had the nerve to get on Twitter and say, hey, but it's like 105 degrees in Arizona. And I was like, yeah, but your nights are chilly and there's no humidity.
I find a lot of people in Arizona are very quick to be like, don't complain about your weather. Like, we were in Evo and we talked about Evo and how Evo almost killed me. just because of the hot weather. Yeah. But like, Florida, I've spent, a bunch of time in Florida as well. And, like, yeah, it's just humid and gross and icky.
Yeah, and I lived in Arizona for about 3 months when I was training for the Combine. And I loved the climate. And that was in the heat. And it was, I liked it a lot. So I'll take that every day.
Hmm.
I had some matches before I left. Pretty chill week at work otherwise. And then, I came up to Con Bravo. And I think this is my first time in Canada as an adult. So, I should say before, I had an eventful takeoff in Orlando. That's something that I should probably
Raiden
bring up.
Showed up.
God himself almost stopped.
I was like, hey, I'm about to get this nice little vacation. It'd be a shame if anything happened to it. And, God of Thunder, Raiden, flew down and struck the airport twice.
What the fuck?
So I'm sitting here and I'm looking out at the if MCO has a monorail, like it's a very big airport. It's where it's by Disney World, Disneyland. World. If you don't know, so it's a very big airport, and I'm looking out the window because we're getting our 5 o'clock monsoon. It happens every day, nothing out of the ordinary. But I noticed that the lightning's really hitting like hard. Like I'm like, man, it's. I figure it's because I'm on the runway, and it's flat. So I'm like, oh, I'm really seeing these lightning bolts, like, hit, like, touch down. Until I saw on the other side of the monorail, lightning just strikes this island, and there's an explosion. Hmm. Like, a legit fire explosion. And I was like, what is going on? Hmm. And I look, and I thought it was a plane. Thank God it wasn't. But, like, I looked, and there's like, oh, lightning hit a tree. It blew up. It set on fire. Your flight has been delayed for 3 hours. And then I look on the other side, and there's another fire. So there was fires everywhere. Lightning was hitting all over the place. It was a miracle I made it here. But I did. Con-wise, I've really enjoyed it. I spent a lot of time in the dealer's room. Bought some stuff for my kids. I did a bunch of panels today. Filmed some stuff.
All the panels.
You've done more panels.
Did all the panels today.
I had 5 panels today.
Like... Ooh. That's beyond brutal compared to any other thing.
Which I was really...
Like, did you get roped into, like, and you're like, do you want to be on a gardening panel? And you're like, I don't know anything about it, but I'd love to.
Well, I was like, you flew me down, like, you can put me to work. Like, yeah. I feel like it's just worse.
You explained that today, and, like, I totally get that, but were you on something that you're like, I don't actually know, like, or were you...
It seems like it was mostly
it
anime.
Was all stuff that, like, they had seeing my credentials, I guess, and they were like, yeah, we're going to put you on stuff. I was with Jeff and Glass Reflection in the first two panels this morning, and we talked about anime stuff, which I was really intimidated by, because I like anime, don't get me wrong, but it's not my job.
Right.
Mm. So these guys, you know, these guys are titans of the anime industry, and I'm like, yeah, but I felt like I really enjoyed it. I think I held my own out there. I was probably a little bit more quiet than them, but I had a lot of fun, and I'd like to... I was telling Matt over lunch, I was like, yeah, if there was like a... I could do a panel of something that I am like a absolute 100% expert on and talk about it for an hour. It wouldn't be too bad. Also, on Friday, we had Super Feud, and I became the champion of the world.
We were slowly stalling on that one.
Despite our bread advantage from our intro, where so, Willie was like, let's throw bread.
Well, so I guess first things first with, like, Com Bravo in general, like, one thing that's I find really cool is, like, this. It's been the case in previous years, but this year more than ever, it's like YouTube Con.
Yeah,
there's
really
a lot of love for YouTube and like, that side of the internet more than a lot of other cons.
I think on the posters it says, like, anime, video games, YouTube. Like,
yeah.
It's like there.
That's super awesome because it's like, there's no other convention we go to where that is a thing, you know?
I can't think of it.
This is, like, VidCon.
Besides the actual... besides the on-the-nose one, you know? But, I mean, there's... And I kind of found that, like, in quite a few cases, there feels like there's a mild disdain, you know, for YouTube in a way, because there's
sometimes
you see some conventions where, like, you just take a look at who's on the guest list, and it's like nothing to do with even, like, us, but just you're like, you look at who's there, and there's like, no, there's not a single person.
Well, it's definitely a lot more of, like, the old, like, oh, we'll get somebody from Star Trek to come.
Right.
Or, like, yeah.
Exactly. You get that, and, you know, perhaps you get some voice actors, and you definitely, you know, always you're going to have, like, video game people and whatnot. But, it just seems weird sometimes where it's just, like, you know, you're in the same state as, you know, this huge person that has a massive audience, and, you know, like, you kind of just are not inviting or don't really care, whatever the case is, right?
Yeah.
And like, from, you know, knowing a couple people that, like, work and handle, like, invitations on different cons, it definitely is, like, something where it comes down to, okay, who do the people that are sending out the invites like personally,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily going to be, like, who are people asking for, you know? So... All that to say, I really love the fact that Com Bravo's, you know, specializing in that.
And it actually really worked out well for me, because before I even knew that you all guys were going to be here, I knew that Austin was coming. Mm-hmm. I knew they had asked me to help get them in
Austin
touch.
Creed.
Austin Creed.
Yes.
Xavier Woods.
There's a lot of Austin.
Yeah,
there's a whole lot of Austins
going around.
I'm not talking about
Too
Stone Cold.
Yeah.
So they had asked me to get in contact with him to get him to the convention, which was his first time being here too. And you know, after that, I was like, oh well, I'll go see Team Four Star guys. And I didn't realize that you guys came. Is this your third,
fourth
year? Yeah. So I didn't realize that you guys came every year, basically. So at you know, by the time I realized that I was going, I was like, man, like. This is like all my internet friends. I get to go.
Everybody.
Yeah, literally all the Warriors.
The whole crew. Yeah. It's super dope, you know, and that's it. Like, it going into, like, yeah, Lil V, you made it out this time as well. Yeah. And.
Well, just to show how, like, YouTube oriented this whole con is, like, I only came as an attendee. I didn't come as a guest and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then I got just ended up being introduced to the organizers, and they knew who I was, and just went, here, just take the VIP, but just take it.
So last year, Star Exorcist showed up as just an attendee, and when they realized she was here, they were like, what? We didn't even, didn't know you were planning to come. You should have contacted us. And she was like, oh, I didn't think. Like, you knew anything. And they hooked her up with a VIP pass, and I got her into the line. And then they... And now this year she has her own booth and was, like, in panels
and doing
stuff,
like,
so.
All the art.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. The art for the main pass.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So no, so that's what it is. Like, just looking at this list, I'm like, that's a super dope list of friends you invited to one convention, and that's awesome. I really love that. I guess if we're passing the baton going around this way, and I'll take it next. Prior to arriving, I played some Pyre, the new game from Supergiant Games, and after...
You like the Pyre.
I'm a fan of the Pyre.
When you played it at PAX East 2 years ago, you were like, I like the Pyre.
Yeah.
And then you played it again at the second PAX East.
I still like it.
Yeah.
So basically, you know, Supergiant Games, they made Bastion, and then they made Transistor, and those two games are fantastic. Transistor is one of my favorite of all time, and like they're both known for the narrator, like narrating your actions after you do them. So he says, like, then you went and did this, and then you do something else, and he goes, or maybe not, you know, type of thing. And it's pretty cool, you know, and like they kind of tell the story in that way. It's a big part of it. And this time around, yeah, they're going a lot more for reading because like. You're playing a sports ball game, but it's a sports ball game in a like
fantasy
setting where reading
is
forbidden.
Blitzball?
It's magic ball, right? Okay. It's like you have to like escort the flame to the pyre and like extinguish your enemy's pyre by like using your team of sacred warriors and like you have a reader so that like reading is basically power is magic is everything, and so when you see like the characters walking around some they have like open books and like energies coming from it and things like that.
It's like
very
awesome.
It's
playing football.
Yeah.
Sports and books don't go together.
But at the end of the day, it's a 3-on-3 team where you can have a heavy, a light, a medium, or different configurations, and they're sliding around, passing the ball, and then dunking in the net. You know, like it's very basic. And so in that sense, they're using their same announcer tech to do, you know, the
commentary.
To do commentary as opposed to telling the story like they did in previous games. But like Supergiant's sort of trademark, besides the basic gameplay functions that you're hearing about here, the world itself is just immediately immersive, massive, and like interesting. You know, the hints and tidbits of characters that you like talk to for a few seconds and then they're like, oh, I'm off on my own adventure. You're like, that guy could be in his own game.
Yeah.
You know, like it's one of those worlds. And
it's like their biggest game, like, because like Bastion was like 5-6 hours and like Transistor was like 3 or 4 hours, but some people told me this is like a 10.
They're
ish hour game.
It's they've been working on this longer than any of the other previous games, so I would believe that. And I can say that after two hours and getting like maybe three sports ball matches of gameplay in 2 hours, and then the rest is just like novel reading, visual novel, and like you know, choosing where your caravan goes and stuff. It's like, yeah, this thing can go. This thing can last, but it's going to be a great 10 hours. Mm. I highly, highly recommend it. Even if you don't have any past with Supergiant Games, if you just want a really cool, almost like saga-like,
yeah,
you know,
I
like
get that impression.
In terms of just like how deep and interesting the setting is, like if you want to get in with that, pick it up. And the art as well is overwhelmingly like detailed and. Like there's little things where you're like, you didn't need that. Nobody asked you to put that level of detail
in
the night sky that's in the background there, but there it is, and it's constantly changing because why not?
There's a lot of care put in the product then,
Love, tons of it. So Pyre is incredible so far. Then that's out now. But yeah, and then beyond that, of course, you know, like you said, Con Bravo. And yeah, thankfully this year, I feel like the Super Feud is like, it seems like we kind of fluked into having a pretty slam dunk event last year, and this time around, like, they were like, okay, let's step it up.
Yeah, no, it turned out to be a more crazy, fantastic event than we were anticipating. We're like, oh, we're going to play some Mario Party.
We're going to play Mario Party with some buddies on stream, yeah. And then it turned into, like, this massive, awesome
turned into
clash.
Some type of blood feud.
And the main
between
stage
four
was awesome
warring tribes.
Very, very cool.
That's,
that's
the major
like
step up.
Yeah.
They got the lighting, they got everything going, and they were like, okay, guys, do your intros. Tell us, talk to the lighting guy, talk to the music guy, set your things up. So we're like, all right, now
we got to be a wrestler for one night.
We got to commit to the bit, you know? And
I too got to be a wrestler for one night. Yeah, and they kept on saying, like, they were like, hey, we want you to come in early, make sure that you got your stuff down. And it's like, we do this. This is what we do.
Yeah, exactly.
This is our job.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, the rest of us Let's Players came in and, you know, did our thing, and...
So, yeah, it was Team Four Star, Arcadia, and, yeah, ourselves, yeah.
Yeah, and us, and then, like, basically, like, so, you know, Team Four Star came in and they kind of had their, like, their characters and whatnot.
Everybody was super edgy heels.
Super edgy heels. Yeah, same thing for Arcadia, same thing for us. We were doing it because we were like, we're the returning champions, and yeah. Last year we were the baby faces. So we this time around, we want to come in returning, holding the belt and being like, excuse me, the championship
title.
Belts are for
pants.
There you go. Thank you. And, you know. And, we came in, and so we just, like, basically did a run the night before and bought what amounts to...
Clan hoods?
They were Slytherin hoods.
They were official Harry Potter.
Like, and it's like they didn't even realize it, because it was like they just... Right before they went out there, it was like, oh, let's put our hoods up. It was like, whoop, pointy hoods. Ooh. And I was like, oh my God.
So when we're waiting to come out of our entrance, and we're like in the hallway, we put the hoods up, and we turn, and we see Austin Creed and Brendan here just go... I don't know about this anymore.
Yep.
This took another turn.
Like boas and medals and jewelry and Mardi Gras.
You had a lot of things.
And bread. I bought Wonder Bread to hand out to the starving
inhabitants of Hamilton. When I first met Wooly that day, I was like, hey, so we need to work on our entrance thing. And he goes, no, I have the cool lit glasses that like glow green. And I'm like, okay, cool. And you know, I was just like, okay, we'll at least put more thought into it than me and Liam are put in. So I'm like, I need to go eat. So I went to go eat, and by the time I get back, I see them holding hoods, Mardi Gras beads, and bags of bread. And I'm like, okay, you need to catch me up here.
On a whirlwind adventure around basically all of downtown.
Yeah.
Tracking stuff down.
And we went, and we got to the point where some of the props were blocked. For safety reasons,
we were not
allowed to use certain props. So I'm like, good. That means
pyrotechnics are banned.
Indoors.
You know, we brought enough selection so that you ban the obvious stuff, and then what comes in just underneath is good to go.
And you guys' Ric Flair level of pomp and circumstance made us realize that we needed to do something. So we ran somebody down, grabbed some creepy anime girl masks.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, that's a thing.
And became...
Your team was...
Kawaii Muscle. Representing Planet Kaneku.
Of course.
And the WWE Universe.
So this is sad in that all the other teams had lots of props and lots of gimmicks. And with just one mask, Brennan and Xavier Woods come down and have the crowd eating out of the palms of their hands.
Because here's what happens is during the rehearsal, we all grab the mics. And like after the big prop entrance, we get up there and we grab the mics and go, oh, we have to talk now.
I didn't think about this part.
And then we do a little thing. And then they grab the mics and go, I don't know what I'm going to say right now, but we'll figure it out because we do this for a living. Yada, yada, yada. You know, and we're all
and
like,
I was like, man, we really need to kill it because we're going to look like jerks if we don't.
And so they come out to goddamn Just Communication. You know,
it was Rhythm Emotion.
Rhythm Emotion, excuse me.
Rhythm Emotion.
Right? Your Gundam Wing theme song, and everyone's clapping right away, right? Because 2MIX, why wouldn't you be clapping to 2MIX? You know, and after getting that going and like eating it up on stage, you guys grab the mics and spit hot fire onto everybody.
Literally our jobs.
Yeah.
So you're like the new team this year, and like the crowd was just like
we're also the only baby faces, so it makes sense. Yeah, everybody else is like, oh, Hamilton sucks, America's better.
Yeah.
I don't understand why we didn't get over.
All we came up and said was that we represent the people of Hamilton. Hot-blooded youth in fiery muscles.
Yeah. And
so, Wooly, there's a brief story about the run-through that I don't think you heard. Is that when we went up the stage, right? Man, Brendan's laughing because he knows. We went up the stage, and like I see I'm the first one to go in the line. It's like me, you, and then. So I tried to leap the stage, and I get on there, and on the way, like, my knee just bashes into the side.
Oh.
And I'm like, okay, ooh. Yeah, and I'm like, I got onto the stage fine, and like one or two people were like, yeah, you look like you had a bit of trouble there. And I'm like, oh, I thought no one saw. So when we're done our part of the entrance rehearsal, I go down to the Con Bravo people, and I'm like, yeah, Brennan, like, hurt his knee earlier, and he might need a step now. You know, like, the other guys are talking, they might need a step. I just felt like I should tell you that you should really get a step, because I'm like, when I go up there, I'm going to try a second time. I'm going to either overcompensate, undercompensate, and I'm going to start shitting my pants right there. Like, something bad's going to happen. I need to take care of this. Because usually as, like, you know, as close as I can be to a man, I go, I'll be able to handle it next time. I'll be able to, I'm like, no, I'm not taking any chances. Yeah. I'm wearing all this bullshit. Brett is throwing around. I gotta take care of it.
Brett is flying.
And they're like,
lost control.
They're like, oh my God, really? Brennan's hurt his knee? I'm like, yeah, no, they didn't. Don't ask him about it. But
he's gonna be really noble and he's gonna deny it. But
and
he
like,
told
maybe,
me.
Maybe even Xavier too might have hurt himself. I'm not sure. But we really need a step. and the Con Bravo girl, I always forget her name, the girl with the like little yes. fiery red hair, she goes and gets the step, and I see the step as it come out. I'm like, oh, thank God I solved this problem.
And we decided that it was okay, because if you would have shot down, it would have been a worse thing. If it would have been like, oh no, Zito couldn't get up the stage, you know.
Because I'm using guys that are much higher up on the totem pole.
Okay,
so it's fine, but if I said someone like innocuous, like Zito or like Corinne or something, I'd be like, oh, I'm not gonna do that.
Of course.
I thought that was great.
Yeah, steps for them, of course.
They're all little people.
First timers, right?
Exactly.
And the other thing too with the Super Feud was we sit down there and just kind of like, all right, let's go. Mario Party's playing.
Mario Party 2.
Yep, and the mics are on the stage and we're like,
yeah.
Oh yeah, last time there was no announcer or anyone controlling it. We just took the mics and did it and completely forgot that we had to just figure it out, you know?
But also, like, there we couldn't see the screens.
That, unfortunately, was the one technical issue.
I forget what it was last year, but we were able to see fine. I forget if we were looking at a monitor or a laptop, or I forget what it was, but we didn't have this issue last year.
So, what we ended up just doing eventually was, like, you know, whoever was rotating would go down to the front, and then they could see the screen and properly interact with each other, and we got the whole
thing
going.
Which worked out.
It worked out a lot better, because we're standing in front of the crowd, they're seeing us, and then again, we're playing off of each other in that sense.
I heard of other problems, that people on that side of the stage could not see that screen because all of us were blocking it.
Oh.
So they had to look at the other screen, but then, like, there was a lot going on. So it's one of those things you got to keep tinkering with to find out
the perfect,
because the stage, like I said, was amazing. It was just that one little thing, if we could have had something in the back, or like a projector in the back, or something just so that we could have seen it.
So for next time, right?
Yeah. Next time.
But performance-wise, I think it pulled some fun shit out of our asses, and it was a good time. You know, the back and forth was strong. It got really brutal and personal at times. Oh, you know,
some of those attacks came in harsh. Some wipeouts.
Some huge wipeouts, man.
I'm sitting halfway back in the crowd going,
I
think Taka had said something like, oh, man, you better win at this because... you want to impress your wife because I'm taking her away.
If you win, you might impress your wife for once.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, whoa, Takahata, that's really good content. God. It's amazing what you can do when you write your own content instead of just dubbing over other people. And Taka's like, no! And then later he throws me, he's like, oh man, God, that was so hilarious.
He was like, we're so cool right now.
Of course.
There's a moment there where I was just like, hey, yo, Xavier, see me in Tekken, you know, and he's like,
which we did,
that happened later. see me in Tekken, and he's like, so did you make it out of Pools at Evo again? And I was like, and I was like, I'll have you know that I got top 16 at Dragon Ball.
And he's like,
well, that's so cute because I got top 8. And back at Evo, like the first thing I saw when I ran into him was like, he's like, dude, I got top 8 at Dragon Ball. And I was like, yeah. So like he looked at me and just like, he's like, great setup. I got you, you know. So it was tons of fun like that. Go check the Twitch archive stream on
it was so much fun.
Twitch TV.
And it was
Bravo.
Very, very like, the Mario Party itself It was very, like, it had its ups and downs, and then it came down to a photo finish. It was amazing.
It's the perfect, like, game for this, like, non-test of skill. It's got about it just be random.
Because last time we played Mario Party 1, I think.
Yeah, we did.
So we were playing 2. So I don't know, like, if it's going to go, you know, if we keep doing this, it's going to go sequentially. But, like, I thought that, like, Mario Party 9, or we played, that one was way more bullshit. Way more just take stars
things
away.
Coming and going.
I would rather skip to those bullshit ones. That would make way more solid. I felt this Mario Party 2 was too competitive.
Slightly too honest.
Too balanced.
yeah, that's true. But no, it was a really great way to kick off the Friday.
It was.
And yeah, we went back. We played some Tekken. He's got a, Xavier's got a king. It's pretty cool, you know, and yeah, we did some rounds and
what happened?
Well, I think he took most of the games.
Okay.
We went back and forth, but I think his king to like came out there. And then Brennan, you kind of Shang Tsung'd a bit. You went around the roster.
Mostly Lily.
Lily was your main.
Yeah, Lily's my main, and then Katarina.
Yeah,
a little bit. And but I was happy with my performance. I don't get to step out into the real world often, so
yes,
I was happy about it.
Nah, man, like Tekken is
so good.
So it's just and it's the like of all the fighting games to pick to pop on in a room full of people that you're gonna play. All those slowdown moments, dude.
Just yeah, even for yeah. people that's like that don't understand, it's like, oh yeah, it's perfect. It's
every once in a while, there's just gonna be.
I barely play the game, and I just love watching it. Dude, it's like,
because everyone goes.
We had a ton of great slowdowns.
Yeah. Like one of the like the most solid ones I had with that like in the game was with Steve like that night with a really good like low sweep over like a high attack, and it's just tense because you're like, oh my god, is he gonna hit first? One of the best things to happen to fighting games in the last 10 years, easily.
Every game needs it.
Yeah, and every podcast needs to take a word from its sponsors because it's about that time. Oh my god, Matt, get back over here. We got our rich sponsors. Oh god, okay. Alright, I'll start without you.
Yep.
And then you come back in, okay?
Literally coming back.
Okay. This episode of the podcast is sponsored by Loot Crate.
Loot Crate?
You like
Loot Crate? That's a crate of loot.
Yeah! Yeah, no, it's the fun box that's sent straight to your door every month with a different theme. And the themes change to all the fun things you like. If you listen to this podcast, chances are you're going to like what they've got for you.
Or two.
Perhaps everything. You're talking less than $20 a month, and you're talking options because they also have loot wear for your fashion
pet
needs.
Loot pets.
They got loot anime. We can narrow it down to the type of
your
box.
Specific kink.
What kind? What type of crate? Do you want
at your door?
Yeah, I mean,
is there a word on this month's theme?
I mean, look, we've gone through a couple different themes, but the upcoming theme, how magnanimous! It is Kingdom, which includes things like The Legend of Zelda, Adventure Time, Lord of the Rings, and of course, one lucky subscriber wins a mega crate that contains an actual kingdom. I hear word on the street.
What do you mean?
like
a small country?
Like a crown to the throne.
Of some country.
A small patch of land.
Yeah, sea land out in the ocean.
Treasury style, Age of Empires start here.
Your journey begins.
Right, so if you want to get in on this month's Kingdom Crate, you have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific. And if you head on down to lootcrate.com/super, enter promo code...
Super.
You save $3 on your new subscription. Now you can take Death Sip.
Ah, thank you.
Once again, that's lootcrate.com/super, promo code super. Enter today and get 100% exclusive items and gear in those crates, so don't miss out. Kingdom is pretty cool. You want to get in on the kingdom?
I'll get in on the kingdom. Why not? I want to own my own country.
Do you actually really want...
Not really.
That's a lot of work.
I've run away on this day.
Yeah, at least in America, I don't think you're allowed to have, like, rulership over another country and be a citizen. I don't know if it's like that in Canada. It's like some weird
thing. I don't
think
it is. I think we're allowed to do whatever.
Citizens of Matveria. Yeah.
What a terrible...
It's to snuff out the next Doctor Doom.
No. The first hard decision, I just run off.
He's gone, folks. He's gone. Thanks, Lucrate.
Thank you so much.
All right. Matt, what did you do before and at the con?
Leading up to the con, I'm not sure if you read it yet, but I read the new trade paperback. It's at least a few months old, of Venom. Venom being back after being a space knight or whatever with the Guardians of the Galaxy. The symbiote's back on Earth. It's looking for a new host. I read it on the plane. I loved it. Because I used to be a big Venom fanboy back in the day, and I lost track. Like, as we always do. What happened to her character? It's Scorpion now? Eddie Brock got cancer and died? I don't know.
It was Flash Thompson for a while.
Yeah, and he was with the Guardians. And so I read that, and I really enjoyed it. The symbiote found a new host, just this Merc guy. Used to be in the army, and he's kind of an asshole. And the symbiote loves saving lives now. He's like, oh my god!
What a refreshing
protecting
take.
People fucking rules!
Oh yeah.
How it feels so good!
I've gone so long eating people that I never thought what it would be like to protect them.
Because being with Flash Thompson, it was like taught it to be like, oh, it's so fulfilling, you guys have no idea! Oh, okay. So it's just wandering around, it just protects this guy, and he's in the middle of like a drug deal gone bad or whatever. And the symbiote thought he was in trouble, and then it attaches to the guy, and this guy has all these fucked up memories, and he's damaged. And the symbiote's like, whoa, 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 no, I want out of this. Shit, this guy's fucking bad news. And this guy's like, this is awesome! Yeah. And he pulls the symbiote back, and this guy's the bad guy, and the symbiote wants to do whatever it can to thwart his plots.
What a refreshing take.
It's really interesting. And then Eddie Brock is back, or whatever it is, I don't know. But Eddie Brock is in it. And then Spider-Man gets involved. It's really, really fun read. I lend it to you if you have time. Please read it, because I really enjoyed it. And I was asking about the Switch before, what genres you want, because I went back to playing Fast Racing Remix, which is basically F-Zero.
Oh, okay.
With a really good soundtrack. And,
but not F-Zero, of course.
It's not F-Zero. If it just said F-Zero on the title screen and left everything else, you would be like, yeah,
okay,
that's F-Zero. Although the ships are a lot more like Wipeout. Okay. Like, they're not as spacecrafty, they're more like streamlined machines. So I went back to playing that on the plane, and I really enjoyed it. I was like, oh, I gotta get back into this. There's lots more cups, a lot of single-player content in that. So I went back and I played that a bunch. In terms of the con itself, I really wanted to support Star in her booth. I bought, like, a million stickers, a bunch of the print of me and Liam from Senran Kagura beachy splashy washy whatever game where we're booby anime girls. I bought a bunch of her stuff. I also partook in Star's event that her and Liam kind of.
What a great
idea. That was a lot of fun.
What a great idea.
For people that want to know this, Liam Star, maybe Liam another artist in the future, want to bring this back. And basically what it is.
I told him you could take the show on the road.
Yeah. Yes, fantastic. Yes, absolutely. And so what it is that Star would be drawing and on a tablet or whatever, and they'll have a screen on the back wall so people can watch. And Liam will be ripping pieces of paper that show a particular subject. And most of them are either things that Star would love or things that troll Star super hard into the ground. So the first one was Star Exorcist the Hedgehog.
Yes.
So she would draw Star Exorcist the Hedgehog. Now, if she makes a mistake or control Z's or does anything like that to fix anything, she has to take a shot
of water.
Water. And whenever she finishes, she has to like also replenish her liquids. Because
if you drink too much water, then you have to go to the bathroom and
Yeah, exactly. So he would rip the next one after a little bit, and then the crowd would get a small countdown, and then she'd have to sign it to complete it and go to the next one. So the problem with this is that Star is a boisterous young girl,
especially when she's overhydrated.
She's overhydrated with water. She gets even more boisterous. So sometimes there is more talking and shilling than drawing. So she got through most of them. My favorite one, Willie, I think that you came in just after it, was Rob Liefeld's Splatoon 2.
Which was the best one, I actually think
her best drawing. It was just Marina, if drawn by Rob Liefeld. I loved it. I kind of want a print of it now. So that was really, really fun. Me and Liam bought Arcadia, We bought their channel. You guys might not see this anymore because someone blocked those videos announcing it.
And they were the best videos that were ever on Arcadia.
We bought their channel. We started making videos for them, me and Liam. But real talk,
Austin made the mistake of signing in on Matt's computer.
Austin
and of
asked,
course,
can I use your computer to sign into my shit? I said, sure, Austin, why not?
Liam, prankster, I'm going to whip gum at people at full speed because that's the way I fucking roll. And Matt.
Liam goes,
let's key log in.
I go into log into our YouTube and I see like all the fucking, it says log in to Arcadia, Boca No Eruption, and like maybe two other like, well, side channels or whatever. And I'm like, oh, what the hell? Oh, God, yeah, he logged into my shit. I'm like, how do I get... And I go, what the fuck? How do I get back to my thing? I have to log out. And Liam's like, what's wrong? I'm like, Austin left all the shit logged into my thing. So, and he goes, you don't have access to Full Arcadia, do you? And I'm like, what? Yeah, I do, actually. And he's like, dude, we should take it over and start recording right now. I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, no, let's just make a funny announcement. And I go, sure. And we look and we see Austin's side channel, like a Boca No Eruption's bullshit. And it has like 3,000 subs or whatever. And we're like, yeah, that's funny. Let's do that. So we recorded. We took the Slytherin cloaks, put them on ourselves,
okay,
and said, yeah, we're taking over. New management. You're going to see fresh new content that you won't be embarrassed by. Blah, 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 blah. So please enjoy our flavor of entertainment. We will put all of Austin's videos now on private so no one can see them anymore. And then we recorded a video of me reviewing pork buns that were bad. That we bought.
It didn't look good.
How do you really feel about those pork buns?
Which Liam had time to make a thumbnail for.
If you saw a close up.
That's when the prank is.
Well, don't worry. If you saw a close up, you'd realize it's quite shitty.
Okay.
It's all cut out really poorly.
Sure.
Or whatever. So we put these and I upload them and we're like, okay, let's just put it on Boca No Eruption side channel because you put it on Arcadia. They have close to 100,000 subs. So we're like, yeah, let's not put it there because that's, you know, that might cause a little bit of disruption. And then we upload them and I'm like, oh.
It's the same channel. Yeah. Anything he uploads to that one goes to the main one.
No, not at all. The last channel I clicked was to make sure if we had access to Arcadia and we're still stuck on that. So it uploaded to Arcadia. Oh. And I was like, whoops. And Liam's like, that's fine. Don't worry about that.
What's the worst that could happen?
So all the comments were basically like the best content Arcadia has ever put out. Like that. And we were like, oh, cool. Okay. No, that's funny. That's funny. He'll find out about it in like an hour or something. 15 minutes later, Austin calls Liam's phone and they go, oh, okay, he's calling to be like, what the fuck or whatever. Or, ha ha ha. Good job. You're the best. So then Liam goes, hello? Yeah. Oh, hey, Austin. Hey, my panel's canceled with Star. And Liam goes, he's just trying to counterprank me.
Isn't it adorable?
It's so funny. And I'm like, oh, yeah, of course he is. And he's like, okay, what? No, we're Star. Okay, yeah. What? The staffer said it was all canceled. He's like, oh, this is so good. I know that they're counterpranking me.
Yeah.
This is going to be so embarrassing for them. And then he's like, okay, Star, are you near Austin? Star, is this a prank because we took over his YouTube? And I can hear on the other end going, no, what are you talking about? And he's like, okay, I'm not sure if they're counter-pranking us. Okay.
He lost confidence.
Yeah, so he put down the phone. He's like, I'm gonna go to the Com Bravo offices, and I'm like, don't go, because you're gonna go, and they're gonna throw water or bugs on you or something, and they're gonna be like, ah, pranked.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, but Stars seem legit. I don't know. And it actually turned out it wasn't a prank. A staffer apparently told of a few fans or something. Yeah, I'm not sure about that event. I think that's canceled.
Okay,
these things happen at cons sometimes.
Yeah.
It happened to us for fuck's sake.
Yeah, a little confusion.
So the panel went fine. The Star Exorcist drawing things due to water panel, and that was fine. It went off, and we finally meet Austin. Austin's like, "Yeah, okay. So what the fuck? Why'd you guys do that to my channel?" We're like, "Well, you were counter pranking us," and he's like, "No, I wasn't counter pranking you with what? That this panel was canceled." And he's like, "No, that was legit. We were really concerned. And Liam's like, oh, okay. But he's like, but I was not that much concerned when my mom texts me and says, some boys are taking over the channel.
Yeah.
Who are these
Who are these boys?
Yeah. These are these dastardly boys.
They're not you.
And Austin was like, I was really angry for about 8 seconds. And I'm like, no, it's good. It's good. After that, after a while.
And then afterwards, he's like, let's look at our social blade.
It should be mentioned, that's really nice that his mom is subscribed to his show.
It is, and keeps up on the
other. Yeah, I was going to say, it's like, are you guys' mom subscribed and keeping up?
Dear God, I hope not. Yeah. Oh, boy. Some not
my, my
fun
things. My sister
is,
my older sister, she doesn't get anything that we say, but she'll look at
it.
She
keeps up a little bit.
But I don't want my parents to see.
Yeah. Wooly, I saw that you were on a stream in a hood of some kind. I'm not sure.
She's more concerned that they're Harry Potter robes. And like, oh, you don't know what you're messing with.
Yeah.
So Austin whips out his social blade.
Oh, gets to his analytics and takes a look to see. He's like, okay, let's see the damage. So minus 16 subs. So you're, the whole time they're like, ah, oh, it's not like anyone's actually going to see that and unsubscribe. No. 16 people went, fuck these guys.
Well, to be honest, it's probably better that he doesn't have
them. Say,
in the description, you wrote, this is a joke. We love you, Austin. You left your shit, like, unlocked on my PC or whatever. And also, like, within, like, an hour, he delisted the video.
I also started a mini campaign with a single tweet just saying, hey, he lost 16 subs. Let's make it back. So let's see if he got those numbers back.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. But yeah, that was me. Fun.
One thumbnail with Matt and some hot dogs, and people are like, I'm fucking out of here. I'm out of here, man.
But there's some people.
I'm off of this train.
No, there's some people that are like, I'm all about this thumbnail. You get a guy shoving meat into his mouth. I love that. So, really funny pranks.
Yeah, solid bit. Solid bit. Also notable, I guess, was... In the dealer's room walking around, there's a couple cool things. One, the Fight Night guys had a booth.
Where was it?
It was next to Temmie Chang's booth, who was also down there.
She is aggressively friendly.
Aggressively cute and shy and friendly.
That's, like, not a real person. She's like a cartoon character.
Yeah. Like, she's super, like, oh my god, oh, hi, oh, I'm so sorry. And then, like, moves in and hangs you things.
Yeah.
And
I was I didn't even ask for this.
Like, you're giving me a hug. The hug is coming.
Can I have a hug? Can I? I was like, yeah, sure. Just leave me alone.
Temmie's the best.
Yesterday, I stopped by her booth, and I just wanted to say hi because we follow each other on Twitter or whatever. And I went to go say hi, and she was talking with two people, but there are people at her booth, right? And she was eating something. And I thought it was poutine at first. And I was like, oh, cool, you're having poutine. And she was like, what? No, I am not. This is just food. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. And then I just ran off. Like, I was also embarrassed.
Yeah.
And like, oh, and no. And then other people told her, do you know that that was Matt? And she goes, what? No, I didn't. Oh, my God, I was such an asshole to him. And I was like, no, you weren't. So she tells me on Twitter, and I was like, I'm going to come by your booth. And like, and then she's like, I got to give you stuff. Yeah. Everyone feels bad.
And while she's there, she's like, and I saw you, Wooly, in the elevator, but I wasn't sure if it was you, so I just pretended not to know you. And I'm sorry. I'm such an asshole.
Cue drama type.
I'm like, no!
I was attacked at Conrado by Temmie Chang.
This could happen to you. It's more likely than you think.
Oh, God. No, but, yeah, she was there. And
Fight Night.
She was right next to Fight Night booth where they had the new build. They had the big sign. The two guys were there, Zeke and his friend. And they had the cool helmet that my cosplay friend Sammy made,
right,
which is like the big Fight Night like character's helmet.
Yeah, I saw it too.
So like it's super dope. Then down there, and it's too late now, but you know, so be it. And also fun was in the back. There was just a booth of like a guy with a computer, and he was like, "If you're like of Irish, Scottish, or English descent, you can give me your name."
Which
and
of course you are.
And I will like give you your family's history.
Let's find out who picked up my ancestors off the boat.
Yeah, exactly. So I basically explained to him like, "Hey, my name is Madden, and that's a name that goes back to a Scot."
I would have loved if you would have just been like, if you would have walked up and not said anything, and he was like, "This isn't for you, bud."
Oh, God, dude, I wish, you know? It's like, hey, are you, okay, you know.
Are you,
sure you don't, not lost. Okay. No, and I came up to him like, hey, so, you know, yeah, my family, we've tried to do this before. We have a little family tree. And on one side, we go up and it stops at the Scotsman, you know, Madden. And on the other side, it stops at the boat. So, what do you got? What do you got for me? What do you got? And he puts in Madden and he prints out on the spot this really cool...
like plaque.
Full-on plaque thing, like almost, yeah, it's tucked away somewhere over there. But it's like the full history of the name, all notable Maddens from like going back to like 12th century.
Wow.
You know, and I was like, well, this says it's, he's saying that this is a lot of like Irish history here and stuff. I'm like, how legit is this, right? And he pulls out like this sheet of paper. He's like, these are all the sources we use. It's a giant list of sources where they're like, no. If it sounds like it's not one thing that you heard, where I'm like, I know it's Scottish. How did it become Irish or whatever? They explained that, like, because way back when, it didn't even matter. You know, the borders, people were crossing back and forth, and, like, they were all just kind of together, and, like, they would, people would switch and, like, join together to fight, you know, like, together, like, many times. So, like, there are many Irish Danes that went over to Scotland and vice versa. And, yeah, and just printed it out and then showed me the tartan for our clan, right? Which is the canach, I think they've pronounced it, but it's the thing, the pattern you'd use for your kilt, right? Of the Madden clan. And I'm like, okay, what do we got?
What you got for
me? And he shows me, he's like, okay, so this is the old styled one. And I look, and it's fucking, it's a yellow and green checkered pattern.
Nice.
And I'm like, that's pretty on point. And he's like, yeah, that's the older one. They eventually updated it with this one. And I'm like, it's a purple design. So I'm like, the colors of green and purple are in my blood, in name.
So time to woolly in kilt when?
Well, I asked him. He's like, you can get a kilt made if you go to certain places and certain festivals and whatnot. And I was like, how about like a hat? Or something like that. And he's like, I don't know about that. Maybe. But for the common, most popular family names, they do have those patterns. So I can just buy the fabric.
There you go.
You know, and do something with it. So that's cool. And I have a family crest now. And I know a little bit more than nothing about the name and where it comes from somewhat. So that was a fun, unexpected discovery at Con Bravo. I forgot who I was talking to. Someone was like, hey, did you find anything cool in the dealer's room? I think it was you. And I was like, you mean besides my family history?
Besides my meaning?
Yeah.
Surprise. You were not expecting that answer.
Yeah.
Most people find art and figurines, but I found truth.
Answers, exactly. So, like, you know, a proper plaque about where Madden Town came from.
Okay, exactly. The genesis of Madden Town.
Not bad. Thank you, Con Bravo. okay, so I guess with that, let's get into some of the current happenings that we missed this week.
What's happened?
Ba-ba-da-ba-ba, the news. Okay, so besides WonderCon going on, showing off a whole bunch of really awesome toys, including a perfect like Persona 5 Makoto, and like various other really, really cool things that I'm sure you're going to catch on your feed this week, Matt. Because WonderCon over in WonderFest, excuse me, in Japan, is where they show you like screenshots of like figures and toys that are like incredibly too detailed for life. And then they go, yeah, this is a garage kit. There's only 200 of them. You're never going to see it.
Like, it's awesome that garage kits exist. I hate that they exist.
Yeah. So that, you know, that's going on now, so that's always nice. But, Persona 5 animation announced.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
I didn't see that, but I knew it was going to be said. So.
I mean,
I heard there was going to be a Persona 5 related announcement at the music festival, and I was like, oh, they're going to make an anime.
Yeah, it'd be weird if they didn't at this point, you know. And yeah, they dropped a little teaser, and, you know, all the voice actors are the same.
It's not like they didn't. They did it before, too, so they had a little OVA-type thing, so.
And, yeah, it's going to be on the air in 2018, so, you know, it's coming.
Like, and the first one will be better than the Persona 5 Crimson.
Yeah, right, Persona 5.
Boy, the Golden anime was not good in comparison to the regular Persona 4 anime.
Persona 5 the Platinum.
Yeah, eventually. Persona 5 Platinum.
So that's cool.
Yeah, I saw the little opening teaser animation for it. Look pretty sick.
I just can't wait for the OP.
Well, yeah, sure. I'm waiting to see what the main character ends up being like in terms of like Akira, right? That's the canon name.
Yeah, Akira. So, yeah.
And so I'm wondering like what they're gonna do with like his dialogue choices,
because I love that the Persona 4 protagonist was always like third answer.
Yeah. Weirdo. Complete weirdo.
Oh, he's so cool. I really feel like they could do the exact same thing with this one, because it's like, oh, he's so cool, but he's a loser.
But then that means you're also hitting on your teacher during some of those S-Links and stuff.
I hope so.
It would be the funniest.
I hope the canon. I am not ashamed to say that I picked Futaba, but I hope the canon is Kawakami.
Would be the best.
That's fine
and super illegal. But yes,
I just want a scene with Big Bang Burger and just an entire episode revolving around consuming it. The speed just called lines Big Bang.
And everyone in the background impressed at how you handle the meat.
Yeah. Big ups to that guy on Twitter that that tagged Brennan and Xavier in a photo and saying, "I hung around with Xavier Woods and Brennan Williams, and they sung the Juness song, and I'm crying." And he's wearing Sir X's Juness.
I have that exact same shirt, and I had no idea that Star had made it until after, I think I was seen on something.
She did that when she was like 9.
That was one of the first ones.
Yeah, yeah. I was seen on something on WWE YouTube, and they're like, "Is that a Juness shirt?" And Sarah was like, "Yeah, I made that." I was like, "What?
Yeah, yeah.
How dare you?"
It's not a Juness. It's the Juness shirt.
It's the Juness shirt. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Also announced over this weekend was details on the Overwatch League. Overwatch League.
League.
Which they introduced a while ago, and we kind of haven't heard much about it until now. Pretty cool, actually. So it's basically the whole the paid esports league that they're setting up with competitive teams and all that stuff.
That I have no interest in personally, but it's still cool.
Well, because going further with it than any other game has by setting up this thing where they're going everyone who plays the game has a shot at impressing somebody and getting an offer from a team.
Oh, okay.
First of all.
That's neat.
Right? And it has nothing... And, even if you're already sponsored in, teams that have been associated with it and whatnot, with Overwatch Competitive, it doesn't matter. Everyone has a shot. If you perform well enough and people scout and like you, you can get in.
Okay, so I'm not super familiar with other esports structures. How is it that the teams usually come to be otherwise?
It's more independent. Right, it's in the same way that players get picked up for Counter-Strike or fighting games and whatnot. It's more of a you place independently and people recognize your rankings and your name for whatnot, and then they go, "Hey, you are super good. You show up consistently to these events and and whatnot."
So there's a bit of a barrier of entry if you're not going to tournaments.
You want to be, and even online stuff, of course, well, mostly online stuff, you want to be entering as much as possible and making yourself a presence. You want to be out there. It's it's pretty much a combination of knowing people and performing well and being a face that's out there and entering as everything you
can. Elbowing your way in, kind
of. And then you go all right, there, bam, And then, of course, if you're just amongst the top, ranked players in the world, in the Grandmaster category, then, you are automatically getting offers. Yeah. But, so this is opening up that door to, a lot of people, because they're going to have these organized teams that are scouting people out. Secondly, everyone is going to get paid minimum $50,000 a year.
Ooh.
Right, so if you are if you're in the league, that's what you're getting, minimum, right? And in addition to that, the associated teams also have to provide housing and housing, health insurance, and a retirement savings plan you're playing.
Nice. Yeah, nice. That's actually great.
Right, each contract it's annual, right? So as you perform, they re-sign you for each year, but that's the level of coverage that they're going in, which is, again, unheard of for esports organization.
I love this because it just makes everything, it's making it more valid for, especially people who aren't familiar with this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It makes it seem like, oh, no, this is a real structured thing. The average person on the street would be like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
And in many cases, even the official, rankings and whatnot will be happening sort of parallel to the game. And, you kind of have to be paying attention or, entering these side events and going to these things separately from your basic game playing it online. But in this case, playing the game as you do and performing
well. Which really makes sense if
gets you into the spot that these people are, you know, hiring people from. It makes sense in the long run. And, like, yeah, I think that's super cool. So,
especially useful for people who, like, can't travel to tournaments all that much and stuff like that and are, you know, kind of, yeah.
Exactly. Great. And, like, and overall, the full package includes, like, smaller details and things where, like, any bonuses the team make, like, 50% minimum have to be going to the players, things like that, you know. So it's basically just trying to take care of everybody from step one and make sure that, like, this is happening in a way that, like, all players are going to be happy with. And, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, no one's getting fucked over if they're making a decision to be professional players of Overwatch. So
that's great.
Good on Blizzard for that. That's dope. And I think that should...
That should be the model going
forward. It should be the model going forward. And I don't know if every company has the ability to, like, you know, invest in this type of structure. Yeah. But if they have any, like... if the game is large enough... There's no reason why, like, if they ever do anything like a StarCraft thing or you know, any other major shooters that come out, like, they absolutely should follow this model. Hell, I think Rocket League is big enough now. They can set something
if they wanted to. It's very big. Yeah.
That would be really cool. So that's what's going on with Overwatch.
Doomfist is, like, out officially, I think, on everything now.
Doomfist is out. There's a couple other changes and patches. Yeah, like, I heard about, like, Zarya getting a buff where you can't, like, dash out of her ult anymore. So anyone who had the ability to, like D.Va fly or Reinhardt tackle out or Genji, they get stuck in and you're on the Graviton and you're not getting out.
That's fine.
So that's legit.
Like, the ult, like, has enough weaknesses in and of itself that they can still shoot you, so I think not being able to dash out of it is fine.
Yeah. Also, apparently, the recent patch made it so that duplicates and loot boxes are now way less. Nice. So
I saw something that said Reinhardt can't break traps anymore when he's charging or something like that.
Really?
Like, it got worse? Yeah.
Wow.
Sorry. Whoa. Careful. I hit my phone there.
Oh, God. Ba-ba-bang.
Ba-ba-bang!
I don't know if that was a glitch or what, but that kind of sucks.
Yeah. I don't like that.
Yeah. You like Reinhardt.
I do. But yeah, there's some good. That's some good news coming out from the Overwatch side. So last week we talked about Pokemon Go Fest, and I don't know if you guys heard about how that went down.
There's
follow ups.
Give me the fallout.
So after the shit show that was the Pokemon Go Festival, there is now a class action lawsuit against Niantic being put together.
Right, I just saw the story just as we left for Comrade.
For why?
Because players that flew out are basically saying, I spent money flying here for an event that didn't do what it said it would do, and I wasted my money.
Yeah, they should win that.
Including players from Japan.
Ooh, wow. Yeah.
So I was reading it going like, yeah, hold on, why? And then it's like,
I swear there's going to be a documentary someday about Niantic and it's not being ready for the power that it was given.
For what happened,
Like, it just wasn't prepared. The company wasn't ready.
And considering Pokemon Go, like, left the, like, public mind space or whatever and came back in with this... It's not great.
Well, man. what it's done, because I hear people are like, I hear people always saying, like, hey, man, you should look back into Pokemon Go. It's because I fell off because I got tired of, you know, the problems that I didn't like about it in the first place.
Yeah.
And from what, you know, when this is the next thing I hear, it's like, no.
My girlfriend still keeps up with it. You know, she's kind of like, yeah, it's some cool stuff. And it's like, but this was like the big
thing. It just seems like, I mean... Like, it took way too long for them to add other generations.
Right?
Like if they... if they would have, like, struck when the iron was hot, and as soon as it started cooling down, bam.
We thought legendary events were going to come, like, way sooner.
Right away.
Like a month or nothing.
And then, like, a year, I think, went by before we even got announcements about what they were going to do with it.
It was just so poorly handled. Like, man, like, how can you lose the hot... It was the hottest thing.
In the world.
Yeah. Well, James, when you first came to Montreal, like, one of the cool things we did was, head out to the spot, And, like,
remember the guy getting pulled away in the ambulance?
Oh my God.
It was just, either drunk or heat stroke or something.
It was intense.
Pokemon stroke.
Well, because there was five or six spots on the corner, right? And then a gym right there, and it was the big Montreal, like, meetup spot. And they eventually, like, in one of the updates, like, just got rid of like half of those, and it just became a normal.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, so that spot died not too long after, because there was like, it was like three, and it's like, oh, that's, you can find that in other places. So they're basically like, they got rid of any spots, and I think it happened in a lot of other cities too, where there were too many in one spot. Like, they kind of just killed it and made it so that it's like maximum maybe two or three in an area.
Yeah,
and so that sort of social aspect faded away.
Yeah, well, I know they added a Pokestops to the gyms.
Okay.
Like, they became Pokestops, and they added raids. So, like, an MMO-style raid where you can team up with the other teams and basically take out, like, super Pokemon and get access to, like,
high-level stuff. Right, right,
like that. And it became something where I was like, oh, yeah, that seems interesting. I bet you everybody's Pokemon are, like, level 5,000 at this point.
Yeah, and just like with an MMO, it's high-level. I think you have to be, like, level 27 or 28 before you can do that. Yeah. And that's a lot of grinding to get to that point.
New story we talked about, I think, was when they announced they were going to allow... anyone that's like beast level, like there's a system in place to make it so that you couldn't just sit on a gym, you know, and like with an unstoppable Pokemon the whole time. If there was like a time system or something like that, I think the longer they stay in the gym, the weaker they get every day.
Okay.
So that you can eventually come in and knock them out with something, you know, that's not as beast. Yeah, no, it's a weird one. And in a lot of cases, I'd be like, come on. You know, like, this is a bit of a frivolous lawsuit kind of thing. But in this case, yeah, people flying over from Japan to go to this event.
I didn't know it was hot enough to get somebody to fly across the planet to go to an event. But I guess...
But it's like, it's just not those, like, fucking benchmark moments of humanity levels anymore.
Yeah.
Where, like, literally everyone in every country that the game was available was playing. But it's still, like, a dedicated group of, like, probably, like... tens of millions, let's say. Well, whereas, like, before it was, like, I don't know what it is.
Because the people flying out, that's your player base. That's your fan base, right? And if it kind of blows up in their face, then now who you got left, right?
The most hardcore people that you have left playing this game are now bummed out because of this.
So that's not good.
And they specified, too, that they're not seeking anything in relation to, like, the legendaries or any of those promises, because, like, Niantic did say they're giving those out for free, plus the $100 in coins and stuff.
Could you sue for Pokemon specifically? Could they say, hey, we're going to sue you for a Lugia?
Well, this guy...
I want to see that judge preside over that fucking court case so bad.
It's just like, what life choices did I make to leave
that?
So this got me thinking too about like just this type of premise in general. Like, has any audience ever sued like Axl Rose or Kanye West for showing up and not performing?
I think there was
that one festival that went completely wrong.
The Fyre Fest. There were lawsuits for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But I remember, like, at least once or twice, maybe in the last couple of years, I remember seeing, like a people, like, maybe a Kanye concert, like, he just came out and just said, fuck this, and just left for some reason.
Some people were angry. They were angry.
There's always another similar
situation. One of my favorite rappers, MF Doom, is notorious for sending out, because he wears a mask.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So he's notorious for sending out doubles. Yeah.
Clones.
Yeah, which is, like, it's like a weird, like, meta Doom thing box. Where it's almost okay. Because he's supposed to be this villain sending out Doombots.
Okay.
But people would get mad and they'd just wreck the place. But I never heard of any kind of lawsuit or anything coming out of that.
Because I wonder if somebody, you know, shows up and they're like, yeah, I flew from, you know, Europe to get here to watch a show. And then you showed up late and then you started one song and then said, fuck this, and left. You know, it's like you buy these tickets. There's no real promise in it, but... has anyone ever tried to push that? I don't know.
But then where
do you stop? Because then you could sue somebody for having a bad show.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's why I think that would get thrown out.
I think it's like if it's a legitimate case where it's like you promised 2 hours of entertainment, you gave us like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Like that's something. But if you promised me 2 hours of entertainment... I never said it'd be good entertainment.
And then you get spiteful artists that just stand up on stage for like 2 hours. I'm leaving after 2 hours.
I assume there's probably like reimbursement systems in place and stuff like that for the really bad shows,
I would hope so. I mean, I don't know. You say that. Like, I don't know if you've seen Mos Def anytime recently. Or Yacine Bey.
Yeah, what's his name now? Yacine Bey. Is it still Yacine? I think he changed
it. Has it gone again? Yeah. I don't know.
I'll look it up.
But, like, Yacine Bey on stage is not anything remotely resembling music. It's kind of just, like, even if it was spoken word, you can kind of say, okay, he did something. It's like, hey, what's up, crowd? Hey, how's it going? All right, shout outs to everybody. All right, who was born in 1991? Woo! Cool, cool, cool. That's up. Shout out. Praise be to you. Praise be to you. All right. Who was born in 1990? Ooh! Oh, all right. No. You go all the way back, no. And that's your show.
Show? Wow.
That's your show.
Wow.
I'm on stage
for years,
just popping people based on what year they're born
in. I wonder if, like, the, is the, when he gets to the point where he's like, in year 2000, if they're still cheering.
Like,
are they so wired to cheer for things that relate to them? That it's like, who was born? It's been an hour. Yeah. Who was born in the year 2000?
Devil sticks. <Woo. laughs>
Who was born in 2016? Play the fucking song.
Any babies in the audience? babies. It's still, I just looked it up, and it's still a scene.
Baby. Okay, but that, you know, that kind of garbage goes down, and it's like, yeah, well, he stayed up there, he did his time, you know, no matter at the end of the day. But yeah, when it comes to like a virtual Pokemon, you know, like what is that promise worth? So I think there needs to be precedent set. Yeah. For the any sort of ruling
to
happen.
I think these cases might be the precedents, right, for going forward, something like that, if they go through, right? So, because that's... Ugh.
Right. Dodgy. Dodgy, dodgy.
And then the whales begin to rise up against the hunters.
Right.
We'll fight back.
Well, no, eat
all the whales.
Yeah, bite a leg, and you know, have Captain Ahab on the hunt for you because
this is Pokemon. The mobile phone market.
The mobile phone market has been hunting whales for too long. It's about time
they
the whales
overfished the seas.
Redwater,
whale revengeance.
This one's just a cool one that is mini story, but. For those who still care, For Honor, fun game, finally getting dedicated servers. So
little late.
I'll defer to you, Willie, because I'm so
that's fine. They announced the details for their seasons 3 and 4 with, like, you know, content, DLC packages, characters, etc., stages. But most importantly, they're switching to dedicated servers. And basically, the biggest problem with For Honor early on was that it was not on dedicated servers. You were connecting pretty much to other players, so it's peer-based.
Yeah.
And when someone left because they got salty, it desynchronized the entire game. Guess how many people were salty playing For Honor?
Probably very big many.
All of them.
Everyone who was losing.
So every match, you know, constantly, especially if you're doing 4 people connected to the same game, or 8... It was an issue.
When you play Friday the 13th, it's still such that if the host gets killed in the first 80 seconds of the fight, which it could vary, they get fucking salty and there's no host migration. So if the host fucking leaves, the entire game goes down.
Damn. Man, it's interesting because like I've been playing in Tekken 7 online. There's a tournament mode where you join up with a bracket of, you know, minimum 8 people.
Yeah, I tried that for the first time literally right before I came.
Okay. So, I don't know if you caught it, but, like, there's a whole thing set up where once you join and the tournament starts, there's a brief window where you can quit, and if you do, you're penalized the money that goes into the pot, right? Yeah. The Tekken dollars.
Yeah.
But after the first round goes by, there's no longer a quit button at all.
Yeah. No, there's nothing you can do.
There's no backing out.
I noticed that. Yeah.
So, like, anyone who pretty much rage quits, like, you get treated as if it was, you know, like as if it was a rage quit and you get the penalization for that. But they lock you in on that. And so, with For Honor here, you know, like, that was just a major issue that no one could really do anything about because there's nothing to verify,
right?
So now that's finally going to help with that stability. And, you know, like, the one major issue, well, not one, but one of the major issues being fixed was that. The other one being, like, the currency being, like, kind of worthless in the long run because things are so expensive that it'd take you over a year of playing
I remember you threw that metric around.
It was insane. Of playing every single day nonstop to, you know, it was so.
Yeah, I put like a week into that game and went, all right, I'm not going to be able to buy anything ever in existence. Jesus.
Yeah. So that's what they've been doing with that. Matt, just to let you know, Night Trap is coming out on August 15th.
You say that. I people throw this at me. I know.
Nothing.
Nothing about Nitro. I'll play it. I just have no real, like, I never played, because it was on the fucking Sega CD, for fuck's sake. I never had one.
Yeah, I get it. It's just that it's a horror awfully thing. Acted horror, like, live action game.
Liam was telling me, he's like, man, that thing's going to be big. They're going to sell so much. And I was like, really? And he goes, yeah, think about it. Night Trap and Mortal Kombat were literally what contributed to the ESRB.
Hmm.
Like, Night Trap was specifically cited as, like, this is corrupting youth.
Yeah.
And people are going to remember that, and people will buy this, especially, like, digitally. There's, like, a physical run for the game, for fuck's sake. There's a physical run for a Sega 32X game on the PS4.
Yeah, okay.
In 2017. All right, and I'm all like, right. That's crazy to me, so... That'll be on the channel for sure, but other than that, I don't... Yeah, Night Trap is weird.
I think Liam's crazy. I don't think it's going to do gangbusters, but I think it'll be a thing.
I think he meant like it's going to do really well for that company.
For what that
not
is.
Not gangbusters, no.
I mean, the fact that it's coming back is...
25th anniversary director's cut Criterion Collection Night Trap.
I think it'll do really well for, like, a streaming or a YouTube type audience.
Yeah.
The nostalgia, and then after the stream mode or something
where people do something. I think I heard something. I might be wrong.
And then after the first week, it'll just be like, and we didn't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then,
oh, shit, I'm playing a Sega 32X game.
Why? Yeah.
Was it Sega CD or Sega 32X? Yeah, who cares?
I think it was CD.
Austin would care if it's CD.
Good news, Brennan. I was mistaken what we saw with Dragon Ball FighterZ. Registration thing, because we were panicking because I thought it was this weekend.
What
happened this weekend was the ticket downloads are now available.
Sorry?
So you download a virtual ticket.
Oh, fuck you.
And the closed beta then opens up September 18th.
Virtual ticket.
September 16th to 18th. And the registration date is moved to August 22nd. So there is a... It's not the clearest cut, just download and play online beta. They're doing a couple of extra steps here to make sure, I guess, that they'll have the servers big enough to handle the...
That's why they had the brief delay, right? So that they could... Because they were kind of almost surprised by the overwhelming support.
The rush would be unstoppable.
It's like a 3-week delay about it, I think.
So, yeah. So, like, to clarify what the story is saying, signups which were previously announced to open on July 26th moved to August 22nd to expand the capacity of the closed beta to enable more players to participate. So that you can then go and get your download ticket on the August 22nd to play on September 16th.
I want to see if there's a company that can possibly do this type of stuff right, where they estimate what the fucking demand will be, and they meet it, and it's fine.
Because
everyone either fucking has no idea how popular this shit's going to be, and everything crashes, everything fucking sucks, and no one's able to play. Or it's the opposite, where they have to delay stuff like this is, till they're like, oh no, we have to make sure this is right, and there's so much demand, we're going to have to delay things because we didn't anticipate this this level of hype.
Yeah.
Right? Like, no one's going to get it in the middle, because it's such a hard thing.
I mean, wouldn't you almost have to do the ticket thing before you even plan on doing the beta, almost?
I guess that's what they're
doing. Yeah,
get an actual measurement, right?
Yeah, get a real measurement and be like, okay, we will prepare for this many tickets. Yep. Treat it like an actual event.
Yeah. I mean, like, that... I as weird as that sounds, that getting that number makes way more sense
than... It does.
How many other games betas came out recently where people are just staring at the press start screen going,
Every
stream on
Twitch.
Street
Fighter 5.
People just mashing, fuck you. Yeah, you know, like, that's...
Did that.
Yeah.
It's your fault.
We spent an entire con doing that, going, fuck you, and everywhere.
All right, so this is a step in the right direction, is all I'm trying to say.
We'll get there.
I agree with it. I'm just saying it's like it's really hard, this type of stuff.
And last but not least, just a quick almost PSA for the folks out there that...
What's up?
That's
nice. I'm going to steal it.
Well, this is a PSA for 2,000 people. There is a Dark Souls vinyl trilogy.
I thought you were going to say people for me.
I want it now.
It's fucking limited to 2,000. Dude.
Why do they do this?
Why?
I am when, and I'm on my phone now.
So the Dark Souls vinyl trilogy will be available exclusively on Bandai Namco's upcoming online store this autumn. That's all we know. All
right.
It is, for those who need clarification, an 8-disc collection of all the music from the entire Dark Souls trilogy. And that includes over 5 hours of instrumental tunes by Motoi Sakuraba. Yep. And Yuka Kitamura. So, coming in this super fancy box, just put that on your radar.
Oh yeah.
2,000 people.
Need it. Want it.
I just love that his first thing is like, want it, need
now,
it.
Now, don't even have a vinyl player, just want it.
But just, it's just like, if you know you're gonna...
It's Dark Souls, like maybe Demon Souls 1.
You can
it's
make
like 2,000, sure, no one knows, like, but it's Dark Souls.
A limited run of a Dark Souls anything should be 20,000.
Right?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
being
like how much
really
are you
modest.
Underestimating your audience.
It's being incredibly modest. You yeah. know? But anyway. Let's take some quick emails as we wrap up.
It's email time.
If you have an email and you want to tell us about your vinyl collection, you can do so at superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
Just write in an
email. Brennan, that's what?
superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
Just write in need it, want it,
need it now.
And your email might sound a little something like this. Here's one coming in from Kenneth. He says, "Dear SuperBestFriendcast, I'm not sure how it was for you growing up, but for me, mobile things were being quickly integrated into school life. Game Boys and such went from the teacher will snatch on site to turn it in at the morning to just don't play with it in class. Seeing the Switch sort of straddles the line of console handheld, would you let your kids take a Switch with them to school?"
It depends on the age of the child. I would 12 years old.
My kids don't have a Switch.
Okay, Brennan. But if you were
this is going to become
a hypothetical
in the near future.
I would not let my kid. Switch is expensive.
But also, your oldest will probably, by the time you would give her a Switch, the Switch might not even be a thing, right?
Switch is really weird because I wouldn't have a problem with. Because even. Okay, when I was a kid, I took my Game Boy to summer camp once.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I love this. This is going to be a fucking tale.
I took my Game Boy to summer camp and I let a kid borrow it and he didn't give it back. And then I went home to my parents and they were like, "Where's your Game Boy?" And I was like, "A kid took it."
Oh.
And he didn't give it back. And I was in so much trouble. So. Middle school.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay.
Actually, I remember my math teacher in grade 7 showed me how to add QuickTime to my PSP. Because he had them himself. He was like, "This is how you do it." And I was like, "Okay, thank you so much." So, yeah.
I mean, even in a time when, like, I had my Game Boy and stuff at school a lot of the time. And in elementary, it never really worked because, yeah, they would have taken it on site when I was back then. But, like, we had, like, Tetris on calculators, you know? We were, like, pulling that off. Our TI-83s were, you know, installing Pimp Quest, you know, and shit like that. So the kids will find a way. We find a way either way. But, yeah, I feel like the Switch is like that. It's a full console. You're gonna have Breath of the Wild
really,
with you.
I never really thought of it.
You know, Breath of the Wild with you at school.
It's not like
you know?
A handheld where it's like not that expensive.
Yeah,
it's a console.
I barely trust myself. Yeah.
To go places with the Switch, lest I fucking forget it or give it to a bigger kid.
Yeah. It wasn't a bigger kid. I'm the biggest kid.
And like, how many? You know,
that's actually why I got in trouble is because they thought I got mugged. And they were like, "What are you getting?" My dad was like, "Who's beating you up
how,
for a..."
How tall were you back then?
Probably like...
Still larger.
I mean, I was probably like 8, so like 5'5".
Yeah, sure. No.
But like, yeah, I mean, I didn't even think of that. I mean, I still have the Switch. Like I said, I showed up the day before, and I didn't even think to go, "Oh yeah, I can just take it places." But
I'm sure that we're in a place now where it's not uncommon to see kids in grade 6 with an iPad.
Yeah.
No, it's very like, actually most schools require it now.
They have smart boards as a thing I'm learning and all that stuff. Exactly, yeah, right.
Most kids, most schools actually give out iPads. Or good schools, yeah.
But like, you know, my girlfriend works in, like, yeah, with schools and such, and it has been telling me about how, like, yeah, certain classes, you know, they hand in their phones at the beginning and take them back at the end. So it's possible that you'll be tossing in your Switch and or iPad into the bucket.
Into the bin.
You know? The collection and bin. And then getting it later, right? That's not impossible.
Also, kids are just way more savvy than, like, we were as children. Just, like, just because you grow up with commercials about, like, you know, your newest fucking device is super expensive and whatever. It's elite and you're cool if you have it. Kids aren't going to be like you or like me or just trusting and just say, yeah, play my game, cool.
I did,
like,
get that back, by the way. I got my game
eventually.
Yeah.
You powerbombed them? Or?
I didn't powerbomb them, but I did get it back.
Oh, sorry, you football tackled them.
Yeah, it was a different time.
So did I, technically. I was young back then. But it only came in the mailbag by, you know, proxy from a really kind soul, because I got my Game Boy stolen as well, and it was like...
Oh, yeah, you did, didn't
that
you?
That was a thing, yeah.
Another parallel.
This is Wooly's moment where he looks at the sky and a single tear rolls down.
Hey, man, no, someone was really nice.
They were.
But, yeah. No, but I think middle school is a decent compromise as well. Yeah. It's like a mixture of being old enough to, like, be responsible and not lose
Understand
it.
Understand the responsibility of your own thing, not get it broken, and then know when to use it.
I mean, exactly. Middle school is the thing where it's like, okay, you're now basically allowed to leave at lunch and go somewhere.
Go buy food.
At that point, you have that kind of responsibility. You should be okay.
And I did nothing. I just stayed in school. When they were like, you can just do whatever during your lunch period, I'm like, I'm going to stay here. I don't have anywhere to go. I even get a fucking handheld console to the DS. I just had to make... This expensive Wooly with his Game Boys. I had fucking Tiger Electronic games. My parents would never buy me a fucking
The PSP was my music player, man, with, what was it, like 32 megs? So I had like six songs and this giant thing in my pocket, like, this is the future.
Yeah,
I got this.
Did Little V have a PSP on a chain around his neck at any point?
Didn't go that far.
It had the spot.
Are you going to say some bullshit to me like you're 22?
I am 26.
Still bad.
I just turned 26.
That's still
26 shitty. Club.
Fuck this room.
I hate everyone here except for Wooly.
It's garbage, I know.
And even then, I hate Wooly a little bit.
Yeah, even then, I wouldn't blame you. We got the next one coming in from Laurent. He says, if you could be mentored by any character and master their style, what would you want to learn from them?
Oh, this is in top 10 of best questions. That's really good.
Yeah.
Any character in anything.
Be a
Even though you talk about how he's never successful, I would want to learn from Akuma, he says. That's cool.
Zero on Akuma.
Who would you want to mentor you and teach you their style?
Do they have to be a mentor-type character that would even do it?
No,
I don't imagine so. I think you can just break the rules and pick somebody.
In any media or game specifically?
Let's make it fun and say any of them.
Any media.
The boss.
The boss is pretty good. What would she teach you? CQC. The basics, of course.
The basics of it, yes. Yeah. But just how to think. You never taught me how to think like a soldier.
How to
think like a soldier? No one can teach you that. The boss. The boss or the big boss. Like, I'll learn from both.
Yeah, that's a question that you got to really ruminate on.
I want to see the boss look at me and just be like, pending their fingers, like, what am I supposed to do with this fucking doughboy man child? How do I whip this thing into shape?
Okay. Who was, I can't, oh my god, I feel like an ass. Well, who was the main character of Brutal Legend?
Oh, it's Jack Black.
I want to be able to shred people's faces off. I want to learn that secret technique.
That's good for your career.
That would be really useful.
I'm gonna say.
I may just hit Wooly's response.
Yeah, I went through. I pared it down, and
to 17 characters.
There's quite a few things I want, but you can't pick someone that's got an awesome power that you don't have, because then mentoring you won't do anything.
That
for
is
you,
a fact,
right? So you have to think about what can be taught and passed down, not what this cool guy can do.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that taken into consideration, I would pick Gyro Zappelli. from JoJo Part 7.
He can learn the rope.
Because he can teach me the spin.
Yes.
It's not the ripple. It's better than the ripple. It's the improved version for a steel ball run.
Yes.
It's the rotation. And it's the ability to take all rotations in life and use them to manipulate reality in crazy ways and also have a cool bullet, you know, when you need it. But, like, he does ridiculous things. Like, yeah, making a person that can't walk stand up because it hits his hips and he's got the ability to suddenly...
G-forces.
Yeah, it's like not the ripple, but the rotate, the spin can do so much. I would absolutely go with Gyro.
I would go with All Might from Hiroaka. And I thought, I was like, oh, well, you don't get the powers, but in this case, you do. You do get his powers. You just eat his hair.
Fair enough.
So that is my answer.
Okay.
And he's just great, great dad.
Best dad.
You?
He answered.
I already answered. Remember?
Sorry, Jack Black. I'm sorry. Okay. All right. Yeah. That's good.
I mean, I figure even like any of us could say even more.
I mean, I could.
Yeah, of course.
If you gave me time with this, I could think of a lot.
My first immediate thought was like, I'd like Ken to teach me. I'd like to be the Sean to Ken.
Yeah, right.
Because like Ryu's weird because I'm very colored by the Udon comics. Like, that's my Street Fighter lore thing, even though you can get more official stuff from Werewolf.
Besides Udon comics?
Yeah. Where do you get the official Street Fighter lore from?
Street Fighter Devotion?
I was going to say
Tiamat's plot guide. Tiamat's plot guide.
But in the Udon comics, it's just like, it presents Ryu like, I'm not a teacher. I'm learning myself.
I think it's something to be said, like, that I did ask, you know, does it have to be a teaching type figure? But, like, yeah, I don't think you're not guaranteed to get good teaching from just anybody.
That's true.
That's the truth.
Like, I would love to learn fighting.
A lot of people are good at what they do, but not good at teaching.
I taught for 10 years, and I've seen some good teachers, and I've seen some guys who are like, whoa.
Yeah, so in the Ryu situation, it's like, yeah, he doesn't see himself as a teacher. So.
But, like, I would think Guts is not a good teacher, but he does teach. He teaches Cedro things. Even though initially I believe Guts was like, nah, fuck you, you're just a little kid.
Yeah.
But then eventually he sees the kid trying stuff out, and he's like, look, like, hold the sword like this for fuck's sake. or whatever. So there's characters that like might not even be teachers, but actually can do it.
And have
like,
done it.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, Keith, Sean and Ken, right? Exactly.
Yeah, I would never think Ken would be the teacher. I'd always think Ryu would be the teacher. And Sakura only, like, learns from Ryu by, like, staring at him through binoculars really or some shit.
Whereas Sean is a dedicated student,
wants to learn.
And Sakura can beat his ass.
Sakura can beat his ass super easily. Well, not new generation, Sean.
Sure.
Oh, Piccolo would be a good one, too.
Piccolo, because he's proven.
He's an actual good teacher. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's pretty solid. And, like, I would say, I'd love to... like learn from someone like Miguel, say in Tekken, but it's like he's raw ability, no talent, right?
Here's your strength. This
I don't know, fucking figure it out. Yeah.
Oh, here,
yeah, that's pretty good. Jaqen H'ghar from Game of Thrones, right?
Yes,
where it's like you want the sick ass ability to just become morph. Okay,
yeah,
come with me.
Yeah,
this one's for you, Rob.
Yeah. not broad. Let's take one from...
Good question.
One from Matt. Matt says...
Hey, what's up?
Hey, you.
I recently watched the anime film Your Name, and for the first time in my life, I started to cry out of pure joy from a piece of entertainment. What's the first piece of entertainment that's ever made you cry?
This is hard for me to remember. But yeah, I've heard a lot of people say Your Name is incredible. And
yeah,
like,
I've heard very... I still haven't seen it because I don't get to go out to the movies. Yeah, but when it was the limited release. And yeah, I would recommend that you go check it out just from hearsay.
Yeah. I mean, I've cried in fear to things, but I'm not sure. I don't think that's what the question is asking. I think I did. Maybe the first time is during Ocarina of Time... when Link says goodbye to Aria, when you leave... not Aria.
Saria.
Sorry, I was reading the next question, Saria.
When he's on the little rope bridge, and she's like, all right, bye, Link, and Link just, like, turns around, and at the time, I forgot that, or I wasn't aware that Link doesn't talk because he doesn't talk. or he talks, but like it's not conveyed that he is talking. And I was just like, oh, he was so mean to her. He didn't say anything. I think it was implied that he said something. And I remember tearing up to that, but I'm sure there's stuff earlier, but I can't remember what it was. That's just the first one that sprung to mind.
I have a much worse one. There's this. Only a handful of people might even know what I'm talking about, but there was this VHS of that came out every February of this Dr. Martin Luther King cartoon by Deke, and it was called Our Friend Martin.
Wow.
And it was about some kids that were some super 90s kids. They were 90s kids.
Okay.
And they went to Martin Luther King's house, and they touched his magic things, and Whoopi Goldberg was there, and she winds a clock, and basically they travel back in time to different periods of Martin Luther King's life. And then at the end of the movie, they say, hey, Martin, like, because they heard that they didn't know he died, I guess. They were like, hey, we heard you. They're like, if you stick around here, you're gonna die. And so they took him back as a kid. And they took him to the future. And then the future had changed.
Okay. Okay.
Wow.
And there's a moment.
Like Bishop style?
There's a moment where Martin Luther King picks up the magic time machine glove that they used to get back in time in the first place. And he says, I don't want this to be this way for you. There's something that I know I have to do. So then they added this extra layer to Martin Luther King.
Where he knew?
That he knew he was going to die.
And he went back and to face
they
it.
They show the wormhole. They show him walk through the wormhole.
Wait,
and
hold
he grows
on. Is this
up.
A manga?
This basically.
What is it?
I might need to find it. And we need to watch
okay,
it tonight.
Maybe.
Okay,
what
so
the fuck?
He goes into the wormhole. And you see him, because he's a kid. They had gone through different periods of his life. And they said, okay, hey, it's the kid Martin Luther King. And he goes through the wormhole, and he ages. And you see him become a teenager. And you see him grow his mustache. And you see him, like, walk with his wife and his kids. And then all of a sudden, it stops. And it's a real image. Because they would splice in, like, real, like, footage of stuff. And it was a real image with a cartoon shadow of him opening the door at the hotel that he was staying at before he got shot, and you just hear,
oh,
wow.
And I just remember little 6-7-year-old Brennan, I was just like, I cried. I was like, and I was bawling. And I went downstairs, dude. And I was like, why did he need to die? Why did Martin Luther King die?
They retconned it so that he knew. They fucking made him an even bigger hero.
I was dying.
Oh
man,
that's the one thing.
Our friend Martin actually had like an all-star cast. Like I looked at him afterwards. Somebody else talk. I'll come up with the.
They
the
pulled the boss on Martin Luther King. It's that's the one thing you can do in whatever so it's crazy. Like a character is already like a martyr or like a heroic figure that goes down for being a legend and
yeah.
It's like you go back and you have the moment where it's like no they did this knowingly and did it to save the future.
I know it's a podcast, but look at this picture.
Our friend Martin.
And it's animated or live action? Can't tell.
It's animated. But they would splice in little live action reflections of things. Yeah.
And the clock says 1941 in the corner.
What year did that come out?
1999 directed.
Directed.
We were peak 90s.
No.
And it consisted of a cast of different. They had a different person play Martin Luther King at every stage of his life.
Wow.
So LeVar Burton played him at 26. Jaleel White played him at 15.
Boy. They got everybody.
Yeah. Who else? Angela Bassett. It was in it. Danny Glover, Whoopi Goldberg, Samuel L. Jackson.
Okay.
Literally all the warriors.
All the warriors. James Earl Jones was Martin Luther King's dad.
Everyone got in there.
John Travolta was in it.
All right.
Oprah Winfrey was Coretta Scott King.
God damn.
I didn't even know that. Jeez, this, like...
It's like, they got together, right? Right? The black people delegation got together.
Like, how do we make Martin Luther King better?
How do we improve? How do we build and make it even more sad?
Let's make him Jesus.
Like, oh. That's
Let's
strong.
Make him Jesus. Black John Connor, basically.
Yeah, right? Time traveler.
I have to go back.
Oh, no.
That's Jesus. The craziest thing I've heard.
It's on. It's on. We're going to find it. We're going to find it.
Usually when someone says maybe a handful of people know this, you're like, ah, fuck you. And then, like, everyone knows it. I have never heard of this.
Like, soon Malcolm X took the plague into himself. And it was the only way to stop it from spreading.
Like, Willie gives me too much credit for knowing Meteor Man. Like, you know Meteor Man? I'm like, yeah, I do.
Where's Martin Luther King joining the Avengers?
God damn it. Wow. That's all right.
Wow.
Did you? I didn't,
but I don't know how I'm supposed to follow
you
that.
I should have saved that for last.
Yeah, there isn't much.
Oh, jeez. I mean, music can do that to me. I've never actually. I think I've only ever like full on cried once. I tear up at stuff.
Sure.
Like, I won't spoil the moment, but like in Nier Automata, who's here to finish it. Or played it.
You're the only one? Yep. It's
okay, so I won't.
Saturn
pile. All right, well, there's a moment where you end up fighting alongside a couple characters, and I was just like. And there's a callback to music from the first game, and I was like. The final fight in Dark Souls 3,
yeah,
when Phase 2 kicks
in. That's a good one.
I was like, but.
Oh, now I'm sad.
I was just like, oh, that's good.
You being a music guy, if I know anything about Nier, is that music is a very strong component.
God, yeah. Mm. But the only time I've ever actually, like, full on cried was the. I saw the Pokemon movie, the very first one.
You know exactly what scene I'm talking about.
And I was like waterworks.
Everybody.
Semi-related, I also cried when he let go of Butterfree.
Yeah, that's a strong moment.
And also when he was gonna let go of Pikachu.
God, that's too strong.
I'm surprised we're not getting any like G.I. Joe the movie or Transformers the movie.
Yeah.
Duke fell into a coma.
He's gonna be okay. They had to change it.
He just had this spear snake into his heart.
So many like bawling children at Optimus Prime led to them making Duke fall into a coma because they couldn't handle him
too. No, because the marketing was like, don't fucking kill off major characters in our fucking things. Kids fucking cry and parents complain.
Which is really, like, I wouldn't, you know, like a kid, if it was scaring the kid, then yeah, that's something else. But, like, let your kid experience
how dare
emotional.
You make my children
feel
feelings.
Yeah, don't make my child feel feelings.
But
this is inconvenient
to me. But then a parent has to be bothered to explain, yes, your non-real animated hero, yeah, he didn't actually die because he's not fucking real, you fucking idiot. Like, that's just annoying.
How dare you inconvenience me by making me have a conversation with my child.
So, like, not really like full on tears, but just like a good leitmotif will get you going.
Oh yeah, no, a good little musical cue, and I'm just like, oh,
yeah.
Pause.
There it is.
Fight it. Repress.
I'm little V.
We're actually metal man.
What do you think the sunglasses are for?
Keeps the feelings back.
In one of the second panel I did today, we were talking about... Yeah, I just started bawling. It was really emotional. We were talking about Angel Beats. And we came to the conclusion that Angel Beats is not a very well-written story. It's not. It's kind of a mess.
Controversial?
No, but outside of the actual writing, the direction and the music are highest tier.
Okay.
So... And I remember, because I didn't even think of this at first, but I was like, why did I cry at the end of Angel Beats? And I was like, it was so emotionally manipulative that I was like, I didn't know why. I was like,
okay.
I'm really sad right now. What is this feeling?
Interesting.
Yeah. So it was like, the story isn't that good, but you still feel it at the end because everything else is that good.
That's the
acting and everything else.
That's something you can't break apart the moment you've seen it.
Yeah.
You have to digest it and then go, wait, hold on.
Yeah, no, and I remember vividly because I was sitting on a plane and I get to the end and I'm like, man, it's over. And then I was like, why do I feel this way?
Huh. Okay. I think lots of things of, like, you know, kind of get you, you get the lump in the throat. I've gotten the lump in the throat from a lot of things. And, it, you know, like, it doesn't take much for that. But it takes a lot to get actual tears. Mm. Like, for me, like, it's weird. Like, it's a very, like, bell curvy sliding scale of just, like, yeah, I will lump up, you know, very easily. But tears, it takes something huge. So that's why, like, the first time I can remember... like full on, like, no, nah, they're going full waterworks.
It wasn't that documentary, was it?
It was.
So yes, it I knew it.
Doesn't really count. Did you what end up watching it?
No, I never did.
I don't know.
I researched.
I don't know if it even counts because it's documentary.
It's media.
It's called media, it's media, right? Yeah, it's called Dear Zachary. Yeah.
Oh my god!
And it is soul annihilating. I don't know what else to say.
And there's no, like, there's no hope on the other side of it. Like,
it's just, like, it's just find out the story of what happened.
I think the first time you mentioned this is just, like, was on your week on the podcast. Yeah. You just mentioned I watched this and it fucking devastated me.
Yeah, yeah. It well, that's the thing that comes to mind. Like, I've never had any media I've watched ever trigger, you know, tears as hard as that.
There's a certain, like, okay, like, you get, like, why you feel certain things. That movie or documentary, like, makes you feel hopelessness. Like, that is, like, despair.
I think that's a pretty apt description.
Because there is, you know, usually, you know, a movie that makes you feel something, it gives you something at the end where it's like, hey, you know, it's not the best. Even a sad ending, it's like, hey, but we're moving on. Yeah. But, like, that movie is so just, like, yeah.
That's like it. When Paul this Walker died, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
At the end of Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, it's like, hey, man, but you're riding somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, that, yeah, and it...
Oh, man.
And it's like, there's other, you know, like, really, like fucked up documentaries about, like, bad things that have happened, and you know, like, you kind of getting taken through it, but I just think there's something special about the confluence of events in Dear Zachary, and also the reason for the entire documentary existing, you know, that makes a difference. Yeah. So... yeah, if you ever feel like you need to know if you're still human, watch Dear Zachary.
You check it out. Yeah, it's something else.
All right, with that, what's coming up and out? What are you guys excited for? And what's going on?
For our channel, things remain the same. You did Pyre. You didn't do another one-off?
We did Pyre and...
And Cat Lady. So that's
all continuing. Yep. Yeah, we didn't do another one. But we had others that we wanted to look at. But yeah, we're back on our normal schedule. So Cat Lady continues.
And L.A. Noire. Almost done L.A. Noire. We're reaching there. And that stuff remains the same. Do you guys have anything you want to tell people that are coming... forth, like, on your channel, or
first off, you
Star see gave that great Star gave that great little drunken shill to you.
I should probably
that your cover of Ebb and Flow from Splatoon 2 is fucking literally taking over the world.
Lest we forget his Rashid theme cover played at Evo.
Yeah, Evo.
I forgot about
that. Yeah, and the whole room, like, all 12,000 people. Like,
literally,
we all got in.
I'm at a rehearsal. I'm going, no, shut up. We're watching this. I don't even care.
It was the best, man.
Yeah. First off, I should shill because I haven't yet.
Shill.
YouTube.com/LittleVMills. Twitch.com/ Twitch.tv/LittleVMills. @LittleVMills. All that good stuff.
Patreon.com.
Patreon at LittleVMills. Everything. LittleVBandcamp.com.
Good branding. Good.
And, but, yeah, so I actually just uploaded something this weekend, did the arms theme, rented a djembe for it too, did the whole
intro. Yeah, cool.
And, I'll show it afterwards too. Nice. And, working on some other stuff. The big thing for me is I'm moving clear across the country. Which that's going to kind of occupy some time. So the schedule.
Where are you going?
Some nowhere town called Montreal. I don't know.
Is Montreal coming becoming the new YouTube town or something?
Yeah, take it over.
And once that's all taken care of, to those who are listening who actually know who I am. My schedule should go back to normal, back to what it was. I've been doing like two videos a month instead of four videos a month, just to kind of like process the move and stuff like that. So my schedule should go back and stuff like that. And Yeah, also planning on doing some live videos as well, too. Doing essentially setting up like a live streaming type show on Twitch and stuff like that. So it's basically like you would see at a convention kind of idea, but like doing it and then like a live and like on an online kind of thing like that, too. So, right. Yeah.
Dope.
Music.
Brendan Stern, subscribe to the WWE Network for $9.99.
Yes. You should.
I'm looking forward to just wrestling more, hitting more people with chains, beating people up, slamming them on their necks. Maybe keep watching or subscribe to Up Up Down Down because there might be some anime content coming that way soon. I don't know. You didn't
hear anime content you asked for.
Yeah, the anime content you needed. I'm not saying anything more than that, but maybe your boy might be in charge of all that. So keep an eye out.
What's going on? My God!
Follow me on everything at Great Black Otaku because I also have good branding. That's it.
All right. And if all things come together right, then you could also, we'll be recording a little bit more, hopefully, of our little tabletop adventure.
Yes.
Table Lords over
yes.
on...
I did not know that you did not know that I could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so now you know.
Awesome.
And we can keep doing it.
Yep, so that's me and Brendan and Moth and Fisticuffs playing tabletop games, having fun with Kingdom Death Monster on Woolly Versus. A whole lot of guns were held to a whole lot of heads. So that's going to be happening for a little bit as well. And, I guess there's stuff I'm working on, but I'll announce it when it's ready. So, brr.
Speaking of announcements, I'll take the floor. If you're at Con Bravo this year, you would have maybe seen it if you came during our Scrub Lords Unite panel, which was just fun Q&A. I think we all kind of killed it. But this would be the time to mention I am actually opening up my own side channel.
Oh, boy.
At Matt McMuscles on YouTube. It's going to go officially live August 1st. So it's in a day or so. You know, if you follow my Twitter, follow my Tumblr, you'll see it all there. You can expect Bible Black. You can expect serial reviews. You can expect a lot of Godzilla content. We got a question during the Q&A today. And the reason why you usually have a side channel is to do the content that you really, really want to do that just doesn't really fit the schedule if you have a bigger channel. So if I want to do toy box reviews, stuff that people do like, but then people are like,
Where's my LP part? Yeah.
You know, it's for that type of stuff. So you're going to see a lot of fun things. You know, I'm going to expect 3 videos, maybe a week on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, making sure to give Wooly a clear birth.
That's a big commitment. Three weeks, big.
Three videos a week, yeah. But you can expect a lot of different stuff.
How about streaming, too?
Streaming, you know, with this, I might stream a little bit less, you know, just maybe stream maybe once a week, maybe even less than that, just cause, you know, I need time to put all this content out. But, if you like Godzilla stuff, if you like, Friday the 13th, if you like hentai, it's the place to go.
I love all of those things.
Can I get that on a shirt?
if you like hentai, it's the place to go.
And then
you might get that eventually. But I've been working pretty hard on it, and it's just one of those passion projects, much like Woolly Versus is, where it's like I have too many ideas in my head. Mm-hmm. I need to get them out there. And you know, when you're set on a schedule like this machine of LPs, it clogs up the works a little bit, and you get some. People that are just like, I'd rather, you know, maybe this not be here in case my LP part.
You know, like, it's understandable in the sense that, like, we have a regular schedule that people get used to seeing the part of the
it's
thing
human. It's literally
for.
Human nature.
It's literally, yeah. Exactly, right? Yeah. So the pattern, and you get used to it, and so it's not there, and then it goes, something new, but not what I wanted, therefore disappointment. And you go, but I want to work on new things. So that's what these are perfect for.
Yeah, exactly, so... you know, look forward to that. I hope you guys like it. It's going to be a disaster.
Plus, you might recognize a certain someone's music.
You might recognize a certain someone's music in what I hope to be a very good channel
Radical.
Trailer. Radical. A channel trailer that hopefully goes up very soon. Thank
Brennan's
you.
Music. Of course.
Yes.
Yes.
And Little V Mills wrestling ability.
Like to announce that I am changing careers.
Yeah.
No, we're going to switch. I'm going to take your guitar and take my boots.
Let's do it really quickly. I'm walking down the street with our cosplayer friend and Brennan, and she goes, man, I really wish I could be a big brawny guy to cosplay all the really cool characters I like. And she's like, oh, I need to work out a little bit. At least I can buff up my body a little bit to do so. And there's just silence, and Brennan just goes,
I wish I were the little girl.
That was amazing. I barked out laughter on the streets of Hamilton. Everyone started staring at me.
We're out on that note. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.